Chancellor Alexander Schallenberg has announced a full nationwide lockdown starting Monday, and it will become the first European country to make COVID-19 vaccines mandatory starting February.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Saturday, November 20th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me today. Have a nice long show planned for you today, so make sure you stay tuned all the way to the end. There's a really interesting development that's been happening around some of the FDA documentation that we're going to talk about today. Something we already actually showed you, but some interesting kind of review of the data and breaking it down, showing you what it really amounts to, and that this is coming directly from FDA documentation. Now, we're also going to be talking about a lot of good information coming from Aaron Seery. Well, specifically two different things today, but this is the lawyer who's been really going after this, and there's a lot of important stuff coming out today, including the first drippings out of the 55-year process that they claim it's going to take to give us all the FDA information about what they're forcing in your child's arm, even though they trust us, it's safe, and it's in that documentation that we're not going to show you for 50 years. A couple of the pages have already started to come out. This is the point that they're going to drag this out over about 16 pages a day for the next 55 years, but even those first few pages show you something that you'll want to see. Pretty much breaking down exactly what you might expect, that there's adverse problems that they're trying to cover up, and it's all right there on the data, but they say something else. And these lawyers and experts are beginning to continue now to show you this and reveal what it really is. We're going to touch early on about the Build Back Better bill, not really getting into the bill deep. I'm sure we'll do that at some point, but kind of just telling you about it and kind of using that to get into another conversation about where this is all going and how alarming it is that this is, in my opinion, going to pass one way or the other. As always does. I'll make that point when we get into it. But we're also going to talk about another study from The Lancet that shows you that the injections not just wane, but come, like I told you, remember from the Israeli data months ago that they said was fake news and censored. Now The Lancet's showing you that it wanes after about 7 months to basically zero. Zero. But of course, that means boosters, right? They're going to love this because that rationalizes the booster, but not really. Not when you factor in the full picture of natural immunity and just general lack of risk for most people, and then the actual risks that go along with the injections for most people and all the rest of it. It shows you that this is an absurd illusion that's being patched together on all sides, and the data continues to show you this, as well as some of the really horrific things we're going to see in regard to children that continue to happen. An incredible spike in just general death of newborn babies and stillborns and all sorts of different horrific data that experts are baffled about. What could possibly be causing this thing that the data shows this can cause? It's absurd that we keep finding ourselves in these positions where the experts are confused about what could possibly be happening, even though they've already admitted that the thing that they're telling you is happening, specifically the injection, can lead to this problem. It can cause these problems, heart attacks, whatever else, but then we don't connect the dots. That's a choice, absolute choice. Now, there's an interesting connection here around Donald Trump and the injection and where it all led from the beginning of the injection, deals with Moderna. These conversations are flying back up again today. So I'm going to make an interesting point about that and where this all stems back to. As you saw, Austria, compulsory vaccinations coming for everybody, everybody. Forced vaccination. And on top of that, the pandemic of the locking down only the unvaccinated in this context, but now that's changed and a lot of more information coming around that shows you that even when they try to stick to the narrative, they realize quite quickly that it's not the unvaccinated causing the problem. And then natural immunity and a couple of things we'll finish off with today, but stick with us till the end because there's a lot to get into. It does look like Odyssey's not working for some reason. I think that's an issue with Odyssey on their end in general. Maybe it'll end up working after a minute. We'll see. Regardless, there's plenty of other platforms that you can find yourself on today to continue watching this show. Now, bringing this over into the first topic. One thing I want to say really quickly that I think is just humorous, kind of sad. is that we find ourselves in a position today where it's obvious and we all see it, which if people that are lost in the two-party illusion will choose to ignore it on their own side. And then, you know, people that are just not in that will still do that. We're all humans. We'll tend to ignore things we don't want to see in ourselves that we don't like. But right now in COVID-19, it's really zooming in, highlighting, accentuating this obvious problem that we have in our society. And it's not just the United States, but where we will choose to ignore things that we just don't like, that we don't want to believe, that we don't want to see. And in this perfect Babylon Bee tweet, it sums up what happened before we ever got here, which I believe was clearly part of this. They were setting the tone, the narrative. It says, study finds connection between believing Russia rigged 2016 election and believing 2020 election was foolproof. Right? Like, it's insulting. Everybody can see this. Anybody who's not lost on one side of this illusion is laughing at how stupid that is. How is it possible that we can believe that Russia put Trump in place, which was their childish narrative that they forced in, regardless of whether there was any evidence to back it up? And even though on and on, you know how ridiculous this narrative is. Not that Russia wasn't trying to, couldn't do it, maybe did, blah, 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 blah. All that's possible and always has been. But was it ever proven? Was there evidence to show that it didn't happen? It's a joke, and it was meant to keep you divided and keep people focusing on the partisan illusion instead of what was really happening before 2016. Then we find ourselves in 2020, where they were coming off and still screaming that was what happened. It was all manipulated. Nothing changed. They didn't put any new infrastructure in place. Didn't add any new barriers or checklists. Nope, they just did the same thing, but then said this year it's completely foolproof because Trump didn't win, so therefore it was perfect. It all worked exactly. Now, that's not a partisan argument. It happens every single time. Left and right, teeter-totter, back and forth. You look back as far as you want. It's the same thing. We're just watching. We can't seem to get past the cycles in our minds. We have to look larger. Look at the last 50 years and recognize it's the same damn illusion on repeat that keeps you stuck. How can it be foolproof one year and be rigged the next, or vice versa? It is always rigged, and that's the point. They're willing to point out or call something rigged when it works for them, just like they do in every election anywhere all around the world when they don't like who's elected, constantly. It just happened. Of course, I'm going to blank on it. Yeah, I was just reading about one more that happened. I mean, there's Iraq is an example, but there's a lot of other examples where people are being elected and they just go fake, rigged. Look at Bolivia. That was very clearly a lie by the U.S. government that even the studies proved after the fact. Guess what? Evo Morales is still not there. And guess what? The U.S. government still has control over what happens in that country. It has nothing to do with the facts, but they'll just yell, it didn't happen. Fake. It was rigged. But then when it happens on the other side, it's completely fake news up until they don't want it. You see where this continues to go. Now, this is what we're dealing with today in COVID-19, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Justin saying blah, blah, blah. Then go somewhere else if you don't like what I have to say. The point is here, guys, that at the end of the day, we can see that this is the kind of manipulation that's always been happening, that will always continue to happen if we don't pull ourselves out of the partisan manipulation. This is what Dr. Eli David had to say. Religion is all about belief. Science is all about doubt. If you, quote, believe in science, you've got science and religion mixed up. Sorry, Justin, if that was not what you were saying. This is such a perfect, perfect reality. Everybody can admit this and everybody can see this and know that this makes sense. We just choose to not see it when we don't want to see it. If you are believing science, you are not in a scientific mindset. That's what Dr. Danny Rancourt points out, that it's about trusting the scientific method, not the outcome, the method. This is what's happening today. It's the same kind of thing we saw back then, the same thing we saw the 4 years before that, and now it's being applied to the next step, which is seemingly going supranational. It's going beyond elections. It's going a lot bigger than that. Okay, I apologize, Justin. So bringing this into the first part of this, to see that this is what we're doing, we're choosing to trust what we want to believe is happening, we need to see where this all is going right now in a faster pace. Like right now where they got people focusing on, like, let's say OSHA, or focusing on Rittenhouse, on things that are happening around the tangential discussions around the real, real thing that's happening right now. Not that those things don't matter. Obviously, you know that these things matter. I could make an entire show about why the Rittenhouse trial would matter in a lot of different ways, around your Second Amendment rights, around the way that our judicial system works, around everything. But that's not really important in my eyes with what's going on the other side of that discussion. Those things matter. Hear me again. They matter. But right now, I feel like that entire thing was being shoved in your face with such absurd partisan arguments that made like childishly absurd. So they keep you invested in something other than this, other than everything else that is going forward right now. House Democrats pass Biden's expansive Build Back Better policy plan. Now, yes, this still has to go to the Senate. Here's the point, though. These always, always go forward. Not just any bill, you understand, but these massive, expansive bills, like, for instance, like the government shutdown concept. Do those ever not happen? Do we ever just go, oh, well, we'll just shut down, which, by the way, should be the first thing we should ask for. No, they eventually act like they're going back and forth and they jam things in every nook and cranny that you never get to see, other riders and other add-on bills that do other things you never heard about, and it goes forward. So as much as the Republicans look like they're completely against this and they're stomping their feet, it will happen, it will pass, and it will go forward in some form when they get what they want too. But guess what won't happen? Build Back Better policies will not stop unless we do something, not the government, but we as the American people, and make it clear that we don't even want anything in regards to the Great Reset. Or the idea that we need to reimagine our lifestyle because of what they destroyed. COVID didn't destroy anything. They destroyed everything. Just like Trump kept promising wouldn't happen. Welcome to the solution being worse than the problem. Remember all that? Where we were, right out of the gate, and we still are. $1.75 trillion. Think about how much money that is. Almost $2 trillion. As I understand it, about $2 trillion at the end of the day. Social and climate spending bill. Wait a minute. Aren't we talking about COVID-19? Isn't that what this is all about? COVID-19? Well, so why is it a social climate spending bill? Because that's what it always was. That's why Kamala Harris will tweet and say, Build Back Better is the largest effort to fight climate change in history. But you rationalized it under a guise of COVID-19. And there is no discernible connection to COVID-19 and climate change other than the fact that they chose to do lockdowns, which destroyed everything, and make that connection to COVID-19, even though lockdowns didn't even do what they say it does did in regard to climate change. Because even that in itself is a political manipulation. Not that we're not hurting the planet, but the political manipulation around it, which I've talked about ad nauseum. The Democratic majority in the House approved the Build Back Better Act on Friday, despite fierce opposition from Republicans. The bill represents a giant step forward, they say. Above all, it puts us in the path to build our economy back better than before. Our economy, right? Because the virus attacked the economy, right? No, their lockdowns destroyed your jobs and destroyed your business and destroyed the economy. Sort of like didn't happen in Sweden. See the difference? And it says better than before by rebuilding the backbone of America, working people in the middle class. Right, the very thing that every policy they push forward has been destroying, attacking, undermining, stealing from, now suddenly they're going to use your destruction that they created to justify doing an action that will apparently give it back to you. What is that called? Problem, reaction, solution. It's been planned, and that's not my opinion. It's very clear, and it's easy to look up. The bill now goes to the Senate, where it faces total opposition from Republicans in an uphill battle in its current form. Well, we'll wait and see, won't we? I guarantee there'll be a show of resistance, and some of them may actually think that they are. But once they get enough momentum and something that they want to, you know, concessions of some regard, to some degree, we will see this go forward. I hope it doesn't, trust me. I hope not. I hope I'm wrong. I've never wanted to be wrong more in my life, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. Now, here's just the other framing of it. As you can see, spending climate policy, literally calling it a climate policy bill. Why in the world is this a climate policy bill? They all know that is the point. It's not a secret. This is about specifically the Green Pass and all the different stuff they've been building under a guise of COVID-19. That's the future. Now, here's the World Economic Forum all beginning to kind of shift their narratives around over to saying, oh, just, you know, meanwhile, children are dying from air pollution, which, by the way, is something that's always been there. Here's how we can protect them. That's not to suggest that we shouldn't try to stop it. But let me ask you a question. At a time when we're seeing unprecedented spikes in things, you know, like an investigation launched into abnormal spikes in newborn baby deaths in Scotland, which we'll get to next, or any other number, you know, the aggressive increase in myocarditis and heart attacks and strokes, all in children, while they're trying to make that seem like it's because climate change, which is crazy stupid when you really break down the data, which we've already done. This is obviously, in my opinion, meant to kind of to drive your idea, your mindset in another direction, right? Yes, there's a lot of bad things happening, but it's all because of the climate change problem, because of pollution, because of things that we're all going to solve, so they say, with the Build Back Better definition of the Great Reset and everything else. Impact of air pollution on children's health. Well, what else is impacting children's health? The lockdowns that increase teen suicide or child suicide by over 200%? How about the other issues that are absolutely destroying the environment, like masks and gloves and everything else that they're doing? Or the fact that they're forcing masks on children that are dramatically decreasing their health overall? The years of life lost, we will probably find out in 50 years from now, or 100 years from now, in some looking back study that will blow our minds for how much we removed from their lives by forcing these things in their life. But here, let's focus on the one thing they want you to look at, the one thing that justifies what they're trying to push forward, their Build Back Better policy. Now, keeping this in mind, realizing there's a bunch of other things that they're ignoring around this, let's look at those things. In Waterloo, Ontario region, between January and June 2021, guess what? There was 86 stillbirths, when the usual number, about 5 to 6. That's called statistically significant, at the very least. Did you know that there were 13 stillbirths in a 24-hour period in British Columbia at the Women's and Children's Hospital in Vancouver? What's wrong with our health officials? Why is this stuff being ignored? Because everyone is terrified, who's honest. Either they've been fired or kicked out, removed or attacked or disparaged because they were honest and they spoke out, or they were terrified and honest and they kept their mouth shut, or they are bad sociopathic maniacal people that don't care at all and they're still there. Right? That's what we're looking at here. I mean, there's probably other categories in there, but there are people that know this is wrong and aren't speaking up because they know they'll lose their jobs. They know that they will lose their livelihood and probably have bills and family and children. I still don't think that's okay, but that's my opinion. Regardless, this is happening all over the place. Now, if you think, well, that's just a tweet. Why would we try? Well, yeah, there's a lot of examples coming out all over the place. This is from the Herald. Investigation launched into abnormal spike. An abnormal spike in newborn baby deaths in Scotland. Scotland, one of the largest, one of the high vaccinated locations. An investigation has been launched into a spike in deaths among newborn babies in Scotland, right? This is a government-led initiative here, guys. So this is not some fringe thing that we're, you know, patching together with tweets. This is happening, just like many other things we continue to show you. Official figures reveal that 21 infants died during September within 28 days of birth, causing the neonatal mortality rate to breach an upper warning threshold known as the control limit for the first time in at least 4 years. Now, that piece, right away, you're going to have people that are going to say, 21, that's not that bad. 28 days could have been anything. Like, you could try to make other things happen. I'm not standing here going, we can prove this is 100% because of the injection. But what they're doing and what you should do as an honest, objective person is realize that if they're noticing that this in and of itself breaches their warning threshold, which hasn't happened in, 30, 40 years, that means something. Regardless of whether you want to pretend that it's too much, not enough, that it could be something else, of course it could. Anyone honest can say that, just like we could argue that it could be any number of other things that are causing the things they want to point out. Or the fact that I could admit that the things we're pointing out of side effects could be caused by other things, but the real point is that they're choosing to ignore them, not consider, not look in and find out whether or not they are, but say, well, we don't know for sure, therefore they're not happening. This is a lot compared to their previous examples, and that's why we're seeing things like this elsewhere that are being ignored. Concerns have previously been raised about the potential impact of COVID on maternity services and maternal well-being. But it is the first time since the pandemic began that neonatal deaths have been so abnormally above average. Look at that. For people on the podcast, it's an exponential spike. As it says, although the rate fluctuates month to month, as you can see, the figure for September, which is the shoot, this looks very similar to what, guys? Sort of like the Veyers reports, doesn't it? At 4.9 per 1,000 live births. 4.9. About 5 per 1,000 births is on par with levels that were last typically seen in the late 1980s. Public Health Scotland, probably soon to be the Public Health Agency of Scotland or some weird variation thereof like we're seeing in England. Public Health Scotland, which is one of the bodies currently investigating the spike, said the fact that the upper control limit has been exceeded indicates, this is their quote, there is a higher likelihood that there are factors beyond random variation that may be contributed to the number of deaths that occurred. And what has changed? Think about it. What is different? There's only a few things you could point to here. The injection being one of them. And if they're not willing to look at that as a possibility, that shows you all you need to know right now. That's a lot of this is happening right now where they're just ignoring that very clear possibility. Now, here's Denny Rancourt, PhD, who we just interviewed, by the way. Grab that real quick. I think that was a very good interview. And his study is an important one because this is something that discusses the illusion, the very clear illusion. If you remember his data, that 127-page report study very clearly found, as even the CDC data backs up, that there was a pneumonia epidemic that was ongoing, a pneumonia epidemic, just like 1918, go figure. It's almost like they recreated the same thing. Because even Fauci's studies around 1918 found his quote, direct quote, the vast majority were pneumonia, not flu. Yet we still call it the 1918 flu. Isn't that funny? So here we are again. And his data shows you that was only one data point, that taking it in age and everything else, that it's quite clear that he found clearly that a pandemic did not happen. That was his finding, along with other experts. But you'll never hear that in the mainstream media. I have learned about a confidential discussion group of family doctors in Canada, he says. 11-year-old girls are having menstrual pathologies after vaccination. Hush, hush. We are in a truly criminal medical regime. This has been reported since the trials, and we point to it and they dismiss it. We'll show you the Pfizer data that very clearly reports an almost 10% decrease in fertility, and they just pretend like it's not past a certain threshold, therefore they don't have to report it. Meanwhile, the average people on Twitter just think it didn't happen because they don't see it. They're not reported. It's not reported to them by the mainstream. That's what's happening continuously. This is gross, disgusting, criminal, and it's happening everywhere. Here is Magic Circus pointing this out. Worldwide search trends for myocarditis and, quote, died suddenly, have spiked to all-time highs. Now, that doesn't necessarily prove that it's happening, but what it does prove is that despite the media's best efforts to make it seem like a fringe conspiracy theory topic, it's everywhere, and everyone is concerned about it. This is the, again, majority peeking its head out. This is the majority revealing itself to you in many different ways. That's why they removed the downvote from all of their speeches. That's why people like Alyssa Milano can do a poll on her own channel. And 95%, I think it was about 95% of them said they would never give their shot or give their 5 to 11-year-old a shot. Right? These are the people that you wouldn't expect. That's what most people are thinking right now. And all that's keeping people stuck on this, the perception of us being the minority, is the media telling you that. It's things like this show you what's going on. Now, I mean, this is not necessarily the best example there either, because it could be the people searching myocarditis to debunk it, let's say. But overall, there's a lot of this that shows you that people are on the side of questioning what's happening right now. And then yet, here's just one example of about 100 I could have added today, but this show is not focused on this today. But this is sad and disgusting. And even the mainstream is reporting it and acting like we don't know what's happening. 15-year-old, November, this was yesterday, 15-year-old boy with, quote, no health issues, collapses and dies during basketball tryouts. He just never woke up. We don't know for sure, though, right? We're going to keep ignoring this disgusting trend of unbelievably high reports of athletes collapsing, of children collapsing, of heart attacks in children, boys, girls, everybody. It is obscene what's happening. I'll just include this one. It is obscene, and they know this, and they are hiding it. Even Germany did its own report saying that they're investigating this because it is an abnormal athletes collapsing. The report that I showed you based on an NIH 20-year study found that it was on average about 1.46 athletes collapsing per 100,000 per year. We are so, so far past that. It makes my teeth hurt. Like, this makes me scared to watch how aggressively obvious this is and how much they just choose not to say it, to see it. It's crazy to me. But it's happening like this all over the place, guys. And these are the very kids that they're forcing this on right now. Austria, literally forcing it. So this brings us to the next point, which is really, really obvious. First, before I get to his report, Mr. Siri, Nurse Sarah points this out. I was just informed our CCU department will be adding 55 to 65 new staff specifically. Guess what? Cardiologists, NPs, PAs, RNs, techs, aides, RTs in the next 4 to 6 months. When asked why, the response was, quote, due to a forecasted rapid need specifically in cardiac patient care. She says, okay, we can read between the lines. So specifically cardiac care. That this is like the fact check of Reuters going, oh, well, they did add trimethamine to the child injection, but Pfizer swears that it was only because they want to extend the shelf life. And they also admit in the fact check, well, yes, it is used in regard to heart attacks, but Pfizer said that's not why they're doing it. Therefore, fact check, debunked. Great. Don't you love how the fact checkers will just take the word of a known liar? Because that's what they care about. If you want to see that, look at my last show. It's embarrassing to watch what they'll do. And they didn't debunk that it was added, mind you. They just debunked that it was added for that reason. But you see, a lot of people will look at the headline and think that's debunking that it was even involved in that shot. They have changed the formulation without more safety testing, without actually telling people that's happening. And by the way, that's still emergency authorized, even though they didn't get a new authorization. Like, they are off the rails. A million different ways you can see that they're very aware that this is happening, including all these hospitals recognizing this is an increase and bringing on more people to do so. Now, here's just a very perfectly timed meme that Ray shares here. It says, health experts met today to discuss the uptick in severe cardiac problems and heart attacks in younger people and athletes. No obvious cause could be identified, though suggestions included, quote, running too fast, excessive monster drinks, online hate, and climate change. And of course, for the podcast, the image is a boardroom with a gigantic elephant sitting next to all of them. Like, that's a choice, guys. It's an obvious choice to be like, gee, what could possibly be causing the thing that we admitted this shot can cause? It's childish. Which brings us to the point. Yes, they're hiring more people because of the cardiac events, but why? How do they know that? Well, not only do they know that because of what they're seeing, they know that because of the Pfizer data has been showing you this, as we've been telling you from the very beginning. From yesterday, FDA produces the first 91 plus pages of documents from Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine file. As it hit the joke, only 54 years and 11 months to go. 2 months, and I'm going to read through this for you real quick. Only 2 months and 1 day after it was sued, and close to 3 months since it licensed Pfizer's COVID injection, the FDA released the first round of documents it reviewed before licensing its product. And these are the link. You can read them here. I might go through them in more depth in a future show. While it is for the scientists to properly analyze, let me share one observation. One of the documents produced is a cumulative analysis of post-authorization adverse event reports of the vaccine received through February 28, 2021, which is a mere 2.5 months after the vaccine received emergency use authorization. This document reflects adverse events following vaccination that have completed Pfizer's workflow cycle, both in and outside the U.S. up to February 28th, 2021. Pfizer explains on page 6 that, quote, due to the large number of spontaneous adverse event reports received for the product, Pfizer has prioritized the processing of serious cases. That sound like something the media is reporting to you? So Pfizer explains on their own report that they just released, due to the large number of spontaneous adverse events reported received for the product, that's the Pfizer injection, Pfizer has prioritized the processing of serious cases, and that Pfizer, quote, has also taken multiple actions to help alleviate the large increase of adverse events reports. Wait a minute. That seems to suggest that they're very aware they had a huge increase way back in February and just kept this from everybody's view. It goes on to say, including increasing the number of data entry and case processing colleagues, so people that need to input the data of these increasingly high adverse events, and, quote, has onboarded approximately redacted additional full-time employees. That's interesting. Why would they want to keep from you how many more employees they needed to manage the disgustingly high amount of adverse events? Well, we see theirs, so we know it's a really high number, more than we've had at the entire system beforehand. So probably because they don't want you to know how many they actually need to manage the thing they pretend isn't happening. Now, it says query why it is proprietary, which is why they would redact things, pretending like it's their personal proprietary information. you know, like they, like some other company's going to grab that and use it for their own benefit. No, that's what they're pretending though. Why is it proprietary to share how many Pfizer people had to be hired to track all the adverse events? It's not really. They're hiding that from you. Oh, that's right. It wasn't highlighted. So going forward, it says, as for the volume of reports, in the 2.5 months following the emergency use authorization, Pfizer received a total of 42,086 reports containing 158,893 events. Most of these reports were from the U.S. alone and disproportionately involved women, which seems to almost counter what they're saying otherwise, which tends to show you that it's everybody, guys. And those between 31 and 50 years old. It says also 25,957 of the events were classified as nervous system disorders. 25,000. Females between the age of 30 and 51, nervous system disorders. Does that sound familiar? As a matter of fact, that sounds similar to the concerns raised by some of the women testifying, describing the videos below, describing what they've seen, what they felt, including who's somebody we interviewed, Colleen, who is literally dealing with debilitating, sometimes, seizures, issues that stop her from being able to spend time with her children, going to work, living her life. And all they do is tell her she's crazy. But Pfizer literally found that. 25,000 of them, in fact. And yet they're still going to pretend like she's crazy? Well, maybe this is why they're dragging their feet on releasing this for 55 years. What do you think? But no cause for alarm, since Pfizer explains to the FDA, quote, the findings of these signal detection and analyses are consistent with the known safety profile of the vaccine. That's actually what they said. Now, let me break that down for you in case you're confused about that. So here's what they find. Problems. High levels of nervous system disorders, right? In the early stage, usually when they're combined, this is where I argue they were using the meningitis vaccine instead of the saline as the control, as the placebo, which they admitted to. That way they can say, well, look, there are still problems on both sides, and you compare them and it's not as bad. Regardless, they found these problems. Then in the safety test, they go, well, it's no more dangerous than we found before. Does that mean it's not dangerous? Not even remotely. It just means that we already found them. Therefore, we're going to pretend like it's normal. It's what happened before, as he puts it. So if they knew these issues were going to arise, then why didn't they appear to have enough staff to process the expected volume of reports? Exactly. So they knew this was going to happen, but yet they needed to bring on enough people to where they had to redact the total. No, that shows you they didn't expect it, and they needed to bring people on to deal with it. And then they retroactively pretended like it was the same, so we're not going to tell you how many or what it was. The grand conclusion by Pfizer to the FDA, quote, the data do not reveal any novel safety concerns. Can you believe that? Or risks requiring label changes and support a favorable benefit-risk profile to the injection. Nothing to see here. Just ask these women. This is criminal. I mean, literally criminal. I mean, this is outrageous. Everything is here for you to look at for yourself. All of the data, all the reports, you can read through it for yourself. It's obvious. And this, I'm sure Siri is going to be on. I'll be on it as these things come out, and we'll continue to show you what they're not telling you. This, meanwhile, it's being forced on children, guys. As Philip points out, this is terrifying. This is medical misinformation. So much of what she says is verifiably false. And she is the head of pediatrician in America. She's the president of the American Academy of Pediatricians. Now listen to what she has to say.
My name is Lee Savio-Beers. I'm a pediatrician and president of the American Academy of Pediatrics. I recommend that all children and adolescents who are eligible get vaccinated against COVID-19. The first reason, and I think this is probably the most important one to parents, is that it's a safe and effective way to protect your child from what can be a very serious illness.
Well, okay. Even though that's not the best place to pick apart, I mean, what she just said is patently false. I mean, look, can it be serious if you believe that's what's happening based on their narrative? Sure. In, you know, a very, very, very slim percentage of chances for most of the population. 1 in a million chance of dying for people under 19. That's a pretty good picture. So it's not. And so the point is that it could be serious, but to give some context, it's very, 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 very slim for these people that you're putting it on. But then on top of that, is it a safe and effective way to stop that? Not even remotely. You are giving them an increased risk of myocarditis. They've admitted that. That's what the documentation now says. So you're taking someone with a basically no risk, statistically speaking, that's what even they will report. The CDC still puts it at zero statistically, and give them an increased risk of myocarditis, which is, there's no such thing as a non-serious heart problem. Even the mild cases of myocarditis, according to the NIH, can increase your mortality over the next 10 years by up to 56%. Your mortality. But let's pretend like that sentence makes sense. That, yeah, it's a safe and effective way, because that's the narrative. Safe and effective, safe and effective, safe. Just keep repeating it and they'll pat you on the head and you'll keep your job. If this person knows that she's lying, then she is a criminal. If she doesn't, then she shouldn't be in this position because she's not smart enough to recognize what's going on.
The COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 5 and up has been very carefully studied in the same way that we have studied all other vaccines for kids.
False. Patently false. And if she doesn't know that, again, she's either a lying criminal or a very, very, very uneducated doctor, or very just a doctor like all the rest that believed all they should do is trust the experts, which therefore be the CDC, the FDA. It's not been studied the same way, even remotely. It was aggressively rushed. It was all short. I mean, even the mainstream has been forced to paint, the corporate media has been forced to explain this. Forbes, Newsweek, plenty of them have pointed this out, saying, look, it has been rushed. All said and done, you're looking at the months long, when the average, the median is about 24 months, if not longer. 26, I think, is what last time I looked. For a full thing, we haven't even remotely got there. So to say that, one, this has been studied at the same as all the rest is not true, because it hasn't. Not only do they skip processes and swing back and do them later, so you can't say it's the same, but even to say that it's the same process as others in regard to the length and everything else, it's safe, and it's just simply not. It has not. They explained it by going fast because it was for your safety, which doesn't even make sense. But that's the narrative though, right? Longest safety trial in history. Corporate media actually says that. Simply false.
And in the studies, what we found was that children really had no significant side effects, and it was over 90% effective.
Okay, well, that's a fun one to look at, right? Okay, so there was no significant side effects, except for all the significant side effects that they didn't tell you about, right? Because does she know that? Does she care? My gut tells me she just has no idea, that she just believes it, trusts it, because she's a trusting person, and that's what she was told to do through her entire training. The side effects are unbelievable. And on top of that, children died in these studies. Even Pfizer admitted that. They just pretend like it was not related. We can't prove it. All of the stuff we're going over are showing you that it's quite obvious that there's a lot of negative problems, that the Vayer's information, that the studies themselves, on and on and on, have made very clear. And yet, so just continue pushing it forward. Now, I was going to play this at a different location, but I think we might as well just play it right now, because she's claiming 90% effective, right? 90% effective. Now, does this doctor know that it's 90% effective at reducing your risk from where you were currently before, which is technically relative risk reduction? Or does she know that it's 90, or is she claiming it's 90% effective at reducing your risk in general? Well, at the very least, she's not explaining, and she's saying it like that so people think that. But how about we take a really quick look at what this actually means? For those who don't remember this, I've explained this many times, and a lot of people still haven't really grasped this. When we first came out, and they still, when they say 90% effective, what they're doing and what they're discussing is called relative risk reduction. And this will explain it for you. I won't even go in beforehand. What it should be is absolute risk reduction. If it was 90% effective in absolute risk reduction, well, that would mean 90% effective at stopping you from getting sick and protecting you. What it's actually saying is 90% reduction from where you were before. So if you have a 0.1% risk, it just goes by down from that 95%. That is not the same thing. And it shows you how aggressively ineffective this really is.
And you have the right to know the potential benefit of any intervention. For example, Pfizer reported that its vaccine shows a 95% efficacy. That sounds like it protects you 95% of the time, right? But that's not actually what that number means. That 95% refers to the relative risk reduction, but it doesn't tell you how much your overall risk is reduced by vaccination. For that, we need absolute risk reduction. In the Pfizer trial, 8 out of 18,198 people who were given the vaccine developed COVID-19. In the unvaccinated placebo group, 162 people got it, which means that even without the vaccine, the risk of contracting COVID-19 was extremely low at 0.88%, which the vaccine then reduced to 0.04%. So the net benefit, or the absolute risk reduction that you're being offered with a Pfizer vaccine, is 0.84%. That 95% number, that refers to the relative difference between 0.88% and 0.04%. That's what they call 95% relative risk reduction. And relative risk reduction is well known to be a misleading number, which is why the FDA recommends using absolute risk reduction instead, which begs the question, how many people would have chosen to take the COVID-19 vaccines had they understood that they offered less than 1% benefit?
Look at that. You know, and it's just so frustrating how even people that, like, especially the people that don't want to believe or call us fake news, they probably watch this and just dismiss it. That has to be fake because that's not what I was told. It's easy to look this up. And we called this out in the very beginning. Fauci's even quietly admitted that he mixed them up in the beginning, right? I mean, the average person doesn't even know this conversation because they don't even know the difference. They don't understand that they made this. This is yet another one of the many, many illusions they've played. They also accidentally mixed up the 3.6% death rate. The way that they argued this in the beginning was an illusion from top to bottom, or rather, more appropriately, a lie, flat out. This does not reduce your risk by 95%, not even 80%, not even 50%. It's a very, very, very small reduction for people that don't even have a risk by and large.
Now, I think I put this to the wrong spot. Where were we here? Oh, right there. Okay. So continuing forward with what she was saying. So when she says over 90% effective, recognize that she's either that bad at her job or she's lying to you, willfully, rather omitting, intentionally misrepresenting the reality.
We do recommend that children who have had COVID get vaccinated as well, because it just gives you a stronger and longer lasting protection and helps protect you from serious illness. One of the things, first and most importantly, it's safe to get the vaccine after you've had COVID.
False. Right? I mean, okay, so at the very least, I shouldn't even just say false. I'll let you think for yourself. Here's what she's saying, right? Well, here is the one I keep showing you. Or more specifically, here. I'll come back to this later. Right. And this is just the most recent. This one's from, I shouldn't say most recent, the last one that I've talked about. This is from May 29th. Previous COVID infection is associated with increased risk of adverse events following Pfizer. That's pretty simple, isn't it? This is the Journal of Infection. Well, we've talked about this as well for people that have natural immunity, or at the very least, people that are currently being given. Actually, I take that back. This isn't even the natural immunity conversation. This is the one talking about if you are getting an injection based on the original strain, which is what this is based on, which we've shown you many times, based on the Wuhan isolate, which, by the way, hasn't even been proven to be isolated, which the CDC of China has said themselves. Regardless, I'll come back to these points for other reasons. They're telling you that you are, go ahead and get it. You've had COVID-19 and it's totally safe and it just helps. That's not what any of this says. You're getting an injection that's based on the original strain when Delta's around you, so they tell you, and that's only increasing your risk of antibody-dependent enhancement for everybody. Then, if you had previous infection, which she just said, you have an increased risk of adverse events. On top of that, even Pittsburgh and plenty of other studies have shown you, locations that did studies have shown you, that there's absolutely no benefit. Then on top of that, this shows you there's a clear increased risk if you've already had it. But she doesn't care. She just says, no, don't worry. As she says at the end, it's safe to get the vaccine after you've had COVID. This is literally what medical misinformation looks like. At the very least, you can't argue it's safe because that's what the narrative says, while there's peer-reviewed science that quite literally says the opposite. Right? So at the very least, you have to say, well, this hasn't been settled yet because we're still debating. Nope. Their narrative is settled. The science is settled, according to them, even though the science is never settled to people that understand what the scientific method actually means. But these are scientists. This is scientism. These people have been co-opted by the scientific religion that we are seeing today. That's the point. Religion is all about belief. Science is about doubt. If you believe in science, you have got science and religion mixed up. So going forward,
Here's what Corey Morningstar, who I actually just reached out to recently, we're going to try to set up an interview. Here's what she has to say on this. And I think this is a really, really powerful point. Take the time to actually dive through this with a fine tooth comb, because there's always so much data that she puts out there. Here's an update. Well, at first, here's what she put out earlier on October 9th. Deaths with COVID-19, age 0 to 19 years of October 8th, 2021, only 17. This is in Canada. 17. Now, vaccine adverse events reported between those ages, that 12 to 17 years, as of October 1st, 451. That's not even all the years. That's up to 19. Oops. The point being is you have 451 adverse events, yet only 17 deaths. Now, you could make plenty of arguments in this, but going forward, now, today, 0 to 19, up to November 12th, only still 17 deaths. That's it, 0 to 19. Now, those deaths, by the way, I would argue are questionable because the CDC has not verified a single one of them, in my opinion, or I should say, take that back, in regard to the United States, the CDC has not verified any of these deaths, and it's the same thing going on in Canada. Reported vaccine adverse events for the 12 to 17, 711. Now, you can note that if you continue forward, she does the same breakdown for every age group, and it is even worse the further you go. Deaths with COVID-19, age 20, 29. Only 81 reported adverse events, 3,014. Now, yes, adverse events can include things that aren't as serious as death, but you can look at the deaths themselves on these charts, and it is still more. The reality is that there is a crazy manipulation of what's really going on, and it's every category. Look at the contrast. 3,927 adverse event reports, 30 to 39, only 203 reported deaths. This is one of the things we're probably going to talk about. This is why I keep showing you the breakdown of this kind of data. Well, I'll come back to that. It's in the wrong spot. But because this data shows you a very clear reality, the UK data I keep showing you, that at the very least, their narrative is not making sense, which shows you this isn't actually working the way that they say it is. Now, if you're actually standing back, you'll see that it's only not working. It's hurting people. And the doctors that are supposed to be listening to the signals, right? The Veyer signals, sort of like in 2009, there was 53 reported deaths on Veyer. 53, swine flu, that's it. 53 reported deaths unverified. Pause the entire administration. Now we've got almost 20,000 reported deaths on Veyer, unverified. And why are they unverified? Because they just haven't verified them. That's on the CDC and the FDA. That's a choice. Rather, a lack of resources, but they then dismiss them as if they're not real, even though they haven't verified them as their own admission. But those are safety signals too. So why stop 2009 for 53 of them, yet 20,000 is not enough now? There's no difference, except their choice to keep it going. Now here is Dr. Boaz Lev, head of the Israel Management Team of Epidemics. Apparently unaware, or so he says anyway, either he's unaware of the Veyer's death reports from the U.S., which is staggering and irresponsible and just showing you everything you need to see about this, or he's pretending he doesn't see them, which is almost scarier. Mind the body language when confronted with truthful facts. This is a simple snippet from the discussion held this week at the Knesset, the parliament in Israel, about specifically vaccinating 5 to 11-year-olds. Now listen to what he says. This is, you know, picture like, you know, Congress and Rand Paul and Fauci kind of a thing. That's what's happening here. And the Knesset, or specifically the parliament, are asking him, well, what about the reports in the U.S.? Right? What about all of those? And what do those show you? And literally what he says will blow your mind. When he gets to the part where it matters, I'll read it off for the podcast. So one of the members of the Knesset asked him, what about death? Can one die of the vaccine? And he asks, I beg your pardon? Says, can one, and he responds by saying, can one die of it? You know, reiterating the question from the reactogenic, one doesn't die. Just flat out says from what the vaccines cause your body to do, one simply doesn't die. Think about how crazy that is. There's been admitted deaths, verifiable, but yet he says that.
And then the person responds, 16,000 deaths have been reported as an adverse effect on the American VAERS system of this vaccine. He says, when the presentation, it is a number completely unreasonable. That's his answer. Clearly there's something amiss. It's the reporting in the official American system, they retort. It says, ex-Knesset member Feiglin, we will end here. If you show me the report, we can check it. Are you serious? This is one of the most obvious safety signals happening on the planet, and they don't even know about it, or they don't want to talk about it, or they're pretending they don't know. And he says, don't you know this? You haven't seen it? No, I haven't. And he says, amazing. The chairwoman says, we can always check the reports. Let's end here. Someone's trying to end something quickly. Okay, and then it says, such a negligible adverse event. A negligible adverse event. And she says, it is really not negligible, but we will look at it later on. Right, so he's saying all the deaths, and he says negligible. Okay. He says, I know two of those, by the way, personally. I'm sorry for their loss. I hope we will be happy to receive their reports. Wow. Right? I mean, what's worse, that they don't know that they're there? Or they're pretending they don't know that they're there, or that your government in the U.S. is actively ignoring them while it's 100% sure that they know they're there, right? Your choice. This is criminal. There's no way around this. The real question is whether or not they'll be held accountable. Now, coming to the next part of this and the main focus of the show today, this is what the FDA found in their report, which, by the way, we already just discussed, but specifically diving into what the data shows. Now, think about this in the contrast of what we're talking about here, where he's pretending he doesn't know about these safety signals, or that the FDA's information that they've already released shows you that they already saw an unparalleled increase in these reports that they're pretending aren't there, that they even had to hire new people to categorize them all, and they redacted how many that was. Well, according to Artus Shiva in Israel, FDA report finds all-cause mortality higher among vaccinated. There's only so many of these we can continue to dismiss, guys. FDA, and this is the same, this is how it's insulting that they play the game where they have their data. It's just by looking at the data that they put out. They just don't like that you can read into that data and see what it shows you, as opposed to you just blindly repeating what their conclusion says, which is what the mainstream media does. The FDA report shows Pfizer's clinical trial found 24% higher. 24% higher all-cause mortality rate among the vaccinated compared to the placebo group. And remember, guys, this is a placebo group that I promise you was not just saline. So think about what that makes it even worse when you break that down. Most of it here. The clinical trial of Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine found that the all-cause mortality rate of the vaccinated group was higher than that of the control group. Now, right alone, that should have been a huge deal. Instead, they went out of their way to find ways to claim that didn't make sense. Well, here's why, or it's a natural occurrence, or blah, you know, but that's not how that's supposed to go. If you end up where you had more death in the injection group versus the control group, it should have been over. This is months after the trial, according to the FDA report, which we've shown you, which is right here. Here's the main page of it. We just talked about this. There's other things I'm going to show you in this today as well that I dug through. According to the report, which I just showed you, and I'll show you where it says the thing, we'll get to in a second, which was released by the FDA,
to provide background information on its August 2021 decision to grant full approval for the Pfizer biotech coronavirus vaccine after offering limited emergency authorization of use in last December, 6 months after the vaccine's clinical trial began. The total number of deaths reported in the vaccinated group was nearly one quarter higher than the number of deaths in the placebo group. There's no misunderstanding that. Now ask yourself this. If there was an explanation, why was it kept secret? Why was it not talked about? Why was it not explained? And remember, this was the data that we just discussed where they came out quietly after the fact and admitted that there was more deaths than they reported. I think it was 14 or 17 or something like that. At the end of the day, it shows you that they either missed them, lied about them, or covered them up. Now, when you take that into, again, why would they keep that quiet? I think it's quite obvious why, because it shows you that they had more death in the vaccine side and they just couldn't allow that to be reported. This is the Pfizer, same Pfizer group that's been caught lying more times than we can count here. $4.6 billion in crimes that we've shown you Pfizer being caught for lying about adverse events, lying about safety results, lying about anything you can put on paper. So we wouldn't really balk at the fact that they would lie about this now, especially when their bottom line was at risk. Now, don't miss the full approval, which continues to be used, which is just ignorant and absurd. But they want you to, this is meanwhile, they've already done this, yet there are already things that aren't. I mean, it's so, the way this keeps going is so insulting. And we'll get to a point where I show you something else as well that basically seems to admit that, at least states in the FDA documentation, that there isn't any licensed approved vaccine. Now, that could just be that they missed it and forgot it. We'll get to that in a minute. Just under 22,000 participants were included in each group, with half receiving the coronavirus vaccine and half receiving a saline solution injection, which that's the usual. But remember, we've already talked about that there's been examples of them discussing a meningitis placebo, which doesn't even make sense to me. The initial results of the clinical trial suggested a high level of efficacy for the vaccine in preventing symptomatic cases of COVID-19, and in particular, serious illness from COVID, but lack significant data on all-cause mortality due to the short time frame and small number of total deaths. Now, that data, again, does not make sense when you give it the full picture. The highly, and remember, that's using relative risk reduction, not absolute risk reduction. So even then, it's not as much as of an effectiveness they try to pretend. But even then, the data shows you that it does not, clearly does not give them their high-level protection against disease, against hospitalization, or death. Even if you want to argue that it's higher prevalence on the side of unvaccinated, if you have the majority of the total deaths happening in this category in the vaccinated side, which is what the UK data continues to show you, then you don't have a highly effective anything. Even if you then still prove that the vaccinated or unvaccinated are at more risk, you can't swing back and say it's highly effective because it's simply not. A follow-up assessment of participants completed on March 13th of this year looked at the overall health outcomes of the trial participants 6 months after they received either the COVID vaccine or the saline solution injection. And that's where this document comes in. That's when people like, I think it was Brent Berninson and some others, caught that they increased the number and didn't make a big show of it. That's the point. So 6 months, they follow up with data that reveals why they actually made it so short. You don't get anything with a 2-month study. And that's why we talked about the first part about, where was it? Right here. And this woman saying, we study these like every other thing we've done before. Where was it? Right here. It doesn't matter. You saw where she goes, we've studied these like every other vaccine. Well, no, you didn't. If you only did a 2-month study on something that's supposed to be months and months and years long, well, then you didn't do what you're supposed to do. So does she not know that? Again, same question. Probably not. She probably believes what she's told by the CDC, like every other walking stooge out there that just does what they're told. Follow-up assessment. That's 6 months later. While Pfizer in July released partial data, right here. The initial results of the clinical trial suggested, no, we just read that. A follow-up assessment of participants completed on March 13th of this year looked at the overall health outcomes 6 months after. Okay, while Pfizer in July released partial data, that was the first part of it, on the outcomes from the 6-month assessment ending in March 13th, the new FDA report includes more comprehensive data and shows a significantly higher number of all-cause fatalities among the vaccinated cohort. And remember, the partial data is what they used to push this forward, to emergency authorize it. So they gave you partial data, lied about it, in fact, used that to push forward why this would be used, and it's now being forced in children's arms. This is outright criminal. The Pfizer report in late July of this year showed effectively equal all-cause fatality rates between the vaccine and placebo cohorts 6 months after the tests were concluded. 15 deaths among the 22,000 vaccine recipients versus 14 deaths in the nearly 22,000 placebo. Remember, that's what we talked about, 15 and 14. But before we even get to what they changed, and which shows you that this is much higher than that, let me ask you a quick question. If the first report effectively showed equal all-cause fatality rates, meaning that you get the injection or you get saline or whatever they gave you, that you have just as equal a chance of dying. And that was acceptable? That was enough to rationalize emergency authorizing this? That's what benefits outweigh the risks? That's not what that says. That's not what the data shows you. Benefits don't outweigh the risks when you have the same fatality rate. I mean, crying out loud, guys. It just gets worse and worse every day. The barely scratch past the surface, and this thing is crumbling in your hands. This is built on sand. This is a house of cards. It is falling apart in front of us. And yet it's still happening. They're hoping that we shift into climate change, great reset nonsense as fast as possible, so we just put this to bed. It's obvious this was a criminal activity. Equal all cops. Good God. Okay, but going forward, the FDA report today, however, revealed a large number of deaths by all causes in both groups, with 17 deaths among the control group and 21 in the vaccinated group. The relative difference in all-cause deaths between the two cohorts amounts to 23.5%, though the absolute number of deaths was small. 38 total for all participants in the trial. So what this breaks down to is a statistically significant difference, that you have a higher all-cause mortality in the group that got injected versus the ones that didn't. That's the only thing you need to hear. Now, yes, could there be factors that make this maybe not only the vaccine, or maybe not at all? Sure, I'm honest enough to admit that. But what they didn't do was point that out and then find out why. They covered it up, they lied about it, in fact, and only quietly dripped out the reality once they thought nobody was paying attention. This is criminal activity. It says, however, the FDA justifying its August 2021 approval for the vaccine did not find a link between the vaccine and increased mortality. Why? Because they just decided not to. And that's why, of course, that's why you lie about things, because you clearly are in the right, obviously. The total number of serious adverse events reported among the placebo and vaccine group were comparable, with 103 events reported among the vaccine group and 117 among the control group, though a breakdown and comparison of serious adverse events was not provided. I wonder why. In no way does this show you that one is safe and effective and benefits outweigh the risks. At the very least, even with their first lie, it shows you that there's no difference, which in my opinion was an active cover-up of the fact that this is hurting people. But even if you don't believe that, their data shows you, if you want to believe them, that there was no benefit. It was the same. Your risks are the same. The FDA report also said that during its initial assessment of the vaccine, no notable patterns linking the vaccine in a causal relationship to specific adverse outcomes were found. Take that in. That's what they're saying. Even though you have stuff like this, where their data that just released is showing you the exact opposite. Tens of thousands of nervous system disorders and issues that were so high they had to hire teams to deal with it, and yet, it was nothing to see. No notable patterns. However, the report did say that following the issuance of the emergency use authorization in December 2020, a number of cases of rare heart conditions, including myocarditis and pericarditis, were reported following vaccination, leading the FDA and the CDC to identify, quote, serious risks increased more than normal of myocarditis, pericarditis following injections of Pfizer vaccine. So what does that show you right there? So they find no notable patterns, but then immediately go, oh yeah, but there's a serious increased risk of that one thing we censored people for talking about. So what doesn't that at least make you go, well, what else did they miss? What else are they hiding? Nah, of course not. Everything is the appropriate answer. that was found immediately. And that shows you either they didn't do the study right, they didn't look for it, they hid it, they covered it up, doesn't matter. It was obviously there. And it's obviously a no-brainer to see, and everyone's finding it, and I guarantee it was found in there, or it wasn't because they did such a short study. But I, even then, we're seeing this happen quite quickly. I remember what he said over here again, that what they ultimately said was that, well, we don't have to report this because it's simply consistent with the known safety profile, which is not safe at all. But as long as they establish it as the control, the standard, and then go from there, well, it's no more dangerous than we said in the first place. Except that's still dangerous, though. That's the reality. This is incredible. Oh, that's right. I was going to show you this, which is the main point. This is where they admit this in the very bottom of this. From dose one through March 13, 2021 data cutoff date, there were a total of 38 deaths, 21 in Comirnaty group, 21 and 17 in the placebo group. There's no misunderstanding that. They just simply say none of them were considered related. Well, that's an easy thing to say. Why were the 21 deaths in that group not related? When you had more deaths, when you have more deaths in the actual group than the placebo group, then that is alarming. At the very least, it should be looked into as opposed to covered up. Well, real-world examples continue to show you that that's exactly what is continuing after these false trials. They are reporting surges. Now, don't forget, continually, of the BMJ whistleblower who has come out and told you why these trials, that they weren't even, that the companies they hired were riddled with problems and data efficacy issues. Not following appropriate things, falsifying data, right? That's all being shown, and they're just pretending it's not there. All of it ties to an easy, a picture that shows you exactly what you think is happening, that they're hiding that stuff from you. Michael Breton points out they are reporting surges in cases of COVID in hospitals in Ontario. Almost everyone is vaccinated here. What is going on? Why wouldn't they report the vaccination status of those who are sick? I do know the answer to this question. How do these people sleep at night? This is an active cover-up. But the point is, there are surges of cases in COVID in hospitals, even though most of them are vaccinated. Not just a continual, it's across the board in places that they don't want you to think it makes sense. Places like Iceland, the third most vaccinated nation in Europe. And on top of that, as we already showed you, the fifth most boosted nation on Earth. Despite that, cases are now at record levels. It continues. Here's a horrifying one in Gibraltar, the most vaccinated place on Earth. 100% of its population is vaccinated, and now 40% are having the booster. 100, make sure you digest that. So according to their narrative, this shouldn't be happening in Gibraltar. If you have 100% of the population vaccinated, how are they continuing to spread it then, guys? I thought that was supposed to stop everything. Safe and effective, better than the risks. Well, clearly not. Because it's exactly what they've already admitted, yet pretended simultaneously isn't happening. That the vaccinated can still catch it, they can still spread it. In fact, they've got higher viral load. So when you remove the unvaccinated from the situation, guess what? They keep spreading it. They keep catching it. They keep getting hospitalized. They keep dying. That's what's happening in Gibraltar. How do you see that stopping if it keeps happening like that without the unvaccinated to blame? And by the way, the variants will continue and everything else will continue because that's what's causing it all. I mean, there's no way to misunderstand stuff like this. They're just ignoring it. Gibraltar is skyrocketing in every category. Meanwhile, over here in Africa, remember how many times we made that argument early on in this? That, well, why isn't Africa having a problem? Why are the homeless population completely? Why are they completely safe from this? It's weird, isn't it? They're out there with less sanitary conditions, living on the street, and yet, weirdly enough, they're not having a problem. Which is the truth? Well, because they're not locking down, they're not wearing masks, they're not getting injections, right? That's why. They don't watch the news, that's why. Well, here in Africa, apparently scientists are mystified, even wary, as Africa avoids COVID disaster, right? The point is that that's not happening for them. COVID is not happening in Africa. They don't have a problem. It's simply, it's basically almost non-existent. I was looking for one part that I had highlighted that disappeared, but they're mystified. Well, you shouldn't be. Exactly the same point. Because Africa is not locking down. It's not forcing vaccinations. It's not forcing masks. And gee, I wonder why they're not dying. I mean, it's a very obvious reality. Now, sure, it's correlation, a very, very stark and obvious correlation. There could be something else that's making that make sense. I mean, one of the thoughts I had, by the way, this is a fair argument, actually, is they have been dealing with things and being tested on with things like SARS, like other bioweapons that have been released, and like even Dr. Boyle, who actually created the Biowarfare Act that the U.S. government still uses, has said himself that all of these things, Ebola, all these different things are clearly biomanipulations. But SARS has been shown to give antibodies and immunity lasting and otherwise, or T-cell and otherwise, to people who deal with it. So is that not maybe one of the reasons? Well, that's something to consider. Regardless, those are things they just don't want to admit. They don't want to admit natural immunity. They don't want to admit that this is something that's not hurting them because they're not taking all of the negative things in their life, which are causing more problems, or taking the injection, which lowers your immune system, which hurts your body, which destroys your antibodies, right? Gee, I'm not mystified. I think it's pretty obvious why they're doing much better, as I said. And the experts are baffled. I just added to the list, the gigantic list of examples of how this is an obvious illusion. It just couldn't be more clear. On top of all of that, the studies that continue to come out are showing you that this is just simply not just hurting you. It has no effect after a very clear time period. And we'll get to some natural immunity points later on the show. But here's The Lancet. It's a preprint with Lancet. Effectiveness of COVID vaccination, risk of infection, hospitalization, death up to 9 months, a Swedish total population cohort study. Now, I'll tell you right now that in this study, they do make arguments for why this, for other arguments for benefits here, arguing that this does dramatically reduce hospitalization, dramatically reduce death. And, you know, take it for what you read it, for what you will. I think that the real world information does not back that up. And I think that these things are foregone conclusions based on the stated data from known liars like the FDA and the CDC. It's my opinion. I'm not stating that's the fact, but what I am going to show you that I think is based on their science, they're showing you that this thing dies off. It's not that it just still slowly stops where it slows down its effect. Slows down its efficacy, but it stops working entirely. That's not how this is supposed to work. That's not how any of these things are supposed to work. It's supposed to lead to immunity, right? Well, yes, it wanes, but immunity, natural, and otherwise, we've talked about it, many different issues with other viruses or other things you think are out there from before, such as chickenpox, show you that this continues to last the rest of your life. And the data around natural immunity continues to show you that, lasting, durable, robust, from all of the outlets that they tell you to trust. So why then would you take an injection that verifiably stops working? Vaccine effectiveness of specifically the Pfizer biotech injection, it says wanes progressively at about 15 to 30 days to 47%. So after 15 days, don't forget, by the way, that this injection, their own data revealed that it actually increases your risk of getting COVID-19 by 50% in the first 7 days. But then it drops down, they say, below after that. Okay, so it gives you a dramatic increase of possibly getting this thing at a time when you'll be called unvaccinated, even if you haven't a shot. The shot that is a vaccine or is an injection in your body creates an increased risk of COVID-19. Yet then if you catch it and get super sick in that time period, you go down as unvaccinated. Remember that. We talked about that in a previous show. So now you have the period between 15 to 30 days where it goes down to 50%. So it's not. So there's really no period where this thing is working for you, as far as I can tell. If the highest time frame of effectiveness is in the first 15 days, how does that make sense with their data that shows you it increases your risk of catching it for the 50% for the first 7? Either way, 15 to 30 days down to under 50%, which, by the way, seems to make it not statistically significant to me. Then at days up to 180 days, I take that back. It's 47 after 180 days. 92, 15. So that then the same point. But then it goes forward to say, this is the main point. From day 211 and forward, no effectiveness could be detected. Right? From 211 and onwards, no effectiveness could be detected. Zero. And the study reiterates that like 11 times throughout this discussion. Overall, vaccine effectiveness was lower and waned faster among men and older individuals. Oh, great. So the people that are at the most risk have the least effectiveness. Think about how stupid that is. no effectiveness could be detected. It's straight up telling you that this thing doesn't work, does not work. Right? 6 to 7 months. Really, after about 3-4 months, it wanes off aggressively. Half. Then it goes off entirely. And that's going to be benefited by taking the same thing again? Well, how does that make sense? Here's the actual study, by the way. I just want to point out that it's, as usual, PhD, you know, the things they'll want to dismiss. But here is what it says, right? The study. In this study, vaccine effectiveness against symptomatic infection waned progressively from 92% during the first month to 47% by about 3 months, based on the day breakdown. And from 7 months onward, no effectiveness was detected. None. But by the way, even though it continues to say that it was effective in hospitalization and death and everything else, well, it still says the same thing here. The outcome of hospitalization and death, the effectiveness of it, waned to 42% in the first month. In the first 6 month period, from the first month forward, it wanes all the way down to 42%. That again is being proven to you by all of the other data. How can it be incredibly effective against hospitalization and death when it goes down to less than 50% efficacy? And remember, that is talking about relative risk reduction in between 1 to 6 months. This thing doesn't work. And nonetheless, they're beginning to push boosters on everybody. Why? Because it doesn't work. Because they can clearly see that their effort, and soon, very soon, this is going to be forced on you with the pill that does what ivermectin does, which will arguably stop the problems, which they'll claim will make it look like it works, or they'll claim it's working. At least that's what one of the things we can guess at might be happening. Either way, this thing is not safe for you. And I think that's blatantly clear. But let's give them to everybody while all the information is showing you that they're more at risk when they take this, that they're hiding the data from you. Doesn't make sense. Or you look at places like Africa that are not having nothing to do with it. And they're some of the safest places on the earth in this regard. Well, the FDA says today we amended the emergency authorizations, right? So we're still changing emergency authorizations. Well, didn't you say it was safe and effective? Why wouldn't you just approve it then? Because there's legal issues happening here that they're very carefully stepping around. They're pushing this for anybody over 18 now, and they're forcing emergency authorization. So it's still an unapproved experimental injection that they're forcing everybody to take. How does that possibly make sense? And here is the White House saying, do it anyway. Now let me play this first, and I'll read what I said. I'll make this point about OSHA. They're telling you to do it anyway. And they're also telling you that it was happening before we did this, and it's going to happen afterward. That was my point. I think the whole OSHA discussion was sort of a misdirection. Listen to what she has to say.
Peters. Shelby? Okay, and we'll do Shelby last one.
OSHA suspended its vaccine implementation and enforcement because of the court order.
Now note how she very quickly spins right to the page where she has her answer, which is usually how they do that.
Given this update, is the administration still urging businesses to move forward with the president's vaccine and weekly testing rule? And are you still working off of that January 4th compliance deadline?
We are. Let me be very clear. Our message to businesses right now is to move forward with measures that will make their workplaces safer.
Okay, so our first way to sidestep it is to act like, well, we didn't tell them to mandate anything. We just told them to move forward with things that will make them safer, right? Like this is a game that they play. Right. They know what they're legally doing. They're making sure that if they get pulled into a court of law, they can say, well, we didn't tell them to do the mandate. We just simply said, do what keeps you safer. But see, it's like a wink, wink, nudge. Like they know exactly what they're saying. Keep doing it. Keep doing the things that we told you to do. Even though the court has said you're not legally allowed to. You know what that makes Pasky and Biden's administration and the U.S. government? Criminals.
And protect them, their workforces from COVID-19. That was our message after the first stay issued by the Fifth Circuit. That remains our message, and nothing has changed. I would note that recent polling, I think that just came out yesterday, showed that 60% of businesses are moving forward with measures that keep their workplaces safe. They're essentially implementing components or versions of these vaccine requirements because they know it's in the interests of their workforces to.
Oh, is that why? I love how she just puts on, she just tells you what they think because this is what they all think. All the businesses we just referenced, they all think that. Like, it's just so stupid. So dumb. Like, I can't stand how childishly ignorant these people are. It's intentionally, though. Like, she's doing that because she's thinking she's manipulating your small brain into thinking what she wants you to think. Most of you are far smarter than she is, in my opinion. Regardless, they're doing this because you forced them to do it. You're doing it because you literally leveled legal claims. You said, we're going to legally do things. We're going to come after you if you don't. That's why they did it. This is like claiming that everybody who got the injection so far is on your side. You have already manipulated, coerced, threatened with criminal action, threatened to fire, bribed half of this country. So to stupidly argue that the people on that are all on your side, it's naive at the very least. Manipulative, which is what they really are.
To protect their workforces, to make sure they can bring more people back to the workforce. And we certainly see that as a positive sign. So we are still heading towards the same timeline. The Department of Justice is vigorously defending the emergency temporary standard in court, and we are confident in OSHA's authority. All right, thank you.
Right, exactly. So as I said, it's going to continue anyway. And that's not what my tweet says. This is exactly what I was trying to relay in my last show. This OSHA part of the debate feels somewhat like misdirection. It was already happening before this, right? We know that. It was paused when there was legal issues. They challenged it with the courts and they paused it, okay? So what's the difference from the pause to the suspension? I mean, really take a minute and think about that. It's the same exact thing. All that shifted was what they were calling they were doing. They suspended it, which still means temporary because they're still trying to challenge it back. So what was the difference between the legal challenges that paused it and the court ruling that suspended it? Not anything at all, really. I mean, yes, it's different, and yes, it's progressing, but at the end of the day, what changed? Nothing. The businesses are still doing it. The White House is still supporting it, which is flat-out criminal. I'm not trying to say anything otherwise. But so meanwhile, as we're all going, yay, OSHA, and the courts are ruling in our favor, they didn't even miss a beat. They're still rushing forward, and they're still doing it. So we need to stop batting at the cat toy they throw in front of us. Not to say that OSHA is not important. I would have covered it either way. But we need to realize that these things are, in a lot of ways, meant to get us focused on other areas of the conversation. So it's going to go forward. It already is. And I think they're probably going to try to get the OSHA, get their challenge to happen at a different time when we're paying attention to something else. Now here's Anthony Fauci saying, if you're 18 or older and you've been primarily vaccinated, go get boosted, right? So basically admitting that the booster is now part of the regimen, which is what they've already told you. So you've already been primarily injected, so go get it. But for those of you who have none of them, go out and get the first one because it's safe and effective. But how does that make sense if we need a third one and a fourth one? It's obviously not safe and effective. It's obviously not highly efficacious if I need to continue. If it stops working after 6 months, if it works at all, and it increases my risk if I've already had an infection. And on top of that, it's going to increase my risk of antibody-dependent enhancement since you're telling us Delta's all here. Trust the science while ignoring it all. Fauci, that's what you love to do.
And as you said very correctly, Chris, there's vaccine efficacy wanes over several months. It's still a very, very effective vaccine.
Nope. Literally the opposite of what effective means.
But as we've seen from studies in Israel, most recently from the UK, when you boost an individual with a third shot who has had an mRNA boost, that you dramatically increase the protection against infection, against hospitalization, and in the Israeli study, even against death. So,
no, you know what's funny is what he just said there was if you boost somebody who has an mRNA boost. So he could have misspoke right there, but it basically sounds like he's saying that once you get an mRNA booster, once you've had the third boost, the fourth one will do it for you. Which is almost like one of these memes that's like the Babylon Bee saying, you know, and then once you get the fifth one, well, that will make sure that you're safe for the sixth one, which will make sure that the seventh one puts it all to bed, right? Like, it's just so insulting. But that, listen to him again.
UK, when you boost an individual with a third shot who has had an mRNA boost.
Right, so he does say with a third shot, but he says with an mRNA boost. You know, you see what I'm saying, but regardless, we know this is where it's going.
That you dramatically increase the protection against infection, against hospitalization, than in the Israeli study, even against death. So if you're 18 or older and you've been primarily vaccinated, go get boosted, particularly now as we're entering into the winter season. The weather will be colder. People will be indoors. There's circulating virus around. We're seeing an uptick in some of the cases right now. We had about an 18% increase in cases.
Right, still on cases. Isn't that funny? Don't you wonder why they don't talk about deaths anymore? Because it's not happening, at least in regard to the issue that, like, right now the cases are all the way that they make it seem like everything's blowing up. I see tweets every day or reports from Ontario saw 400 new cases today. It's completely meaningless, seeing as how we have an absurdly high false positive rate with the PCR test, seeing as how we're combining flu and pneumonia still, seeing as how it doesn't actually mean much for most people to deal with it, the vast majority. So it's all just a big illusion, just like every other part of this. 18 or older, the vast majority of them are barely at risk, far less than the flu, but you're going to give them a shot, which increases their risk for an endless amount of super, super rare effects when piled up are clearly more than just rare, even when they're not just rare to begin with. And then you realize, again, natural immunity will only increase your risk once you take it, or if you've had the infection before, will only increase your risk if you take it. And then you realize that the injection based on the Wuhan strain, when confronted with Delta, will cause your body to create antibody-dependent enhancement. All of those things are happening simultaneously, but they want you to think it's all safe and effective because Fauci said so. Meanwhile, even if it's not side effects, just what they do will kill you too. That's just why we talk about in the U.S., well, you know, medical treatment is probably the number one cause of death today. It was number three before this all started. Daily Mail reports two children aged 8 to 11 fall ill after California COVID vaccine clinic gives 14 kids double the dose authorized by the FDA. Great. Let's pretend like how often this happens. It's not an experiment, right? This is happening constantly. And we made 14 mistakes in a row. Our bad. This is criminal. As Kim Iverson points out, I love how the very same people who dunk on ivermectin claiming there are no large double-blind placebo-controlled clinical studies to back it are the same people who take boosters and give kids the shots without large double-blind placebo-controlled clinical studies to back it. Yep, one of the many obvious, absurd, childish contradictions going on within the two-party illusion and the COVID-19 narrative. I'm so glad Kim Iverson is calling this stuff out. Think about how stupid that is, right? Why is one acceptable but the other not? Because one is narrative and the other is what you're not supposed to talk about. Childish. It's children. We're watching children controlling your country. Now, here is a quick report, and it's a reiteration of a point I made yesterday, continuing to show you that they're okay with injecting kids with flu and COVID simultaneously. Flu injections and COVID injections simultaneously, or maybe not. The point is that we just talked about this yesterday. And the two of the reports I showed yesterday, they did say in the first line of those articles that, yes, it is safe. I just kind of skimmed past it because I'm sure you realize that's why I was showing them. But listen to the report.
You guys might want to be aware of. Something else parents might want to be aware of, you can do a flu shot at the exact same time, same appointment. The way they'll do it, they'll give each shot in a different arm. Reporting live outside the Polk County Health Department, Mary Sugden, Local 5 News.
Oh, cool. Okay, so it'll go in a different arm. So you're safe then, because that's different things in the world, right? It's one arm over there, one arm over there. Never cross paths, right? Are they serious? Like, do those two reporters, journalists, even recognize how dumb what they just said? So having it on two different arms makes it safe? Why does it even make a difference? It's injected into your body. This is playing on the ignorance of the average person. We'll put it on your shoulder, on your leg, and you're good then. So nothing happens. It's different. This is just dumb. And here to make the same point yet again, which should bother you. By the way, this was just updated yesterday. Here's what it continues to say from the FDA. There are no data to assess the concomitant administration of the Pfizer COVID-19 injection with other vaccines. What does that translate to? We don't know whether or not it's safe. We do not know. The data does not there. We don't have the data to argue whether it's safe to give alongside the flu vaccine. It doesn't go on to say, unless you put it in the other arm, because that's stupid. It's really, really dumb to pretend that makes any difference. It's just incredible, isn't it? But they're telling kids to do it. Go ahead, kids, do it because it's safe.
even though we literally just said it's not safe. Now, you know why they would say that? Because they were told to say it, and they just regurgitate what they're told. And remember, we're already on the fourth booster here. They're already pushing the fourth one. If you're only just catching up to the fact that they're now making three doses fully injected in this country, which they are, they're now already pushing the fourth one, which is just a quick jump, hop, skip, and a jump to making fourth fully vaccinated. It's an unbelievably obvious path we're on. If you just have to recognize what they're doing. Four shots are your next destination. Now here is Fauci. Let's see if I still have this pulled up. I figure we might as well show this if I still have it. Oh, wait. Where would that be? Nah, I won't try to find it. I have the one I just showed you from the UK document that shows four doses listed, which you guys have seen this in the past shows. But here's what Chris Hayes has to say. My instinct is everyone should be vaccinated and you should get it boosted if you can. Maybe test of the day. Right, so even though you're injected, you should maybe get tested anyway. What does that tell you, guys? It's so stupid. Dr. Fauci says, if you're in a situation where everybody's vaccinated, then you really don't need to wear a mask. Isn't that crazy how it just keeps dancing back and forth? Didn't they just say that everyone needs to because you can still spread it. You can still catch it. You have a higher viral load. They've admitted all of this, but somehow now he's danced back over to, well, don't wear a mask if you're vaccinated. What? I think this really does boil down to keeping you confused, to making sure you're just so confused that you just listen to whatever he just said last. This is just silly. But realize what they're trying to do is push the idea that getting together with your family is dangerous, holiday connections are scary, that all of this boils down to you're at risk all the time, no matter what, even whether you're injected or not, and some kind of foggy direction about why it's the unvaccinated's fault, even though the data does and the science don't back that up. Just keep pretending what Fauci said makes sense. Now, here's what Dark Thoughts, Bright Future points out, just to reiterate the same point going off this same document, by the way. He says, Dr. Tom Fiden, please stop recommending the shot to women who are pregnant, which is what he's doing constantly. There is no safety data. It's unethical to ask women to risk their unborn children with zero safety data. But this expert blue check does it literally every day. Here's just some of the documents that he shares. Showing you that immunocompromised subjects and pregnant or breastfeeding women are excluded from the studies that they're using to claim that it's safe for pregnant women. And all this backs that up. It's very clear that that's not the case. But then I add to that, he doesn't care. Only narrative seems to matter to this expert, in quotes, who has apparently forgotten or never cared about his oath. And add this to the list of things he has no doubt already seen and ignored, updated yesterday. Same FDA document, as you've seen many times. Under pregnancy, available data on Pfizer vaccine to administer to pregnant women are insufficient to inform vaccine-associated risks. But doesn't stop Dr. Tom Fiden from claiming it's safe and effective for pregnant women, does it? That person should be in jail. It's that clear. How about lactation? No, the data is not available to whether it's safe for breastfeeding an infant. November 19th. They don't care. Please make sure you let Dr. Tom Fiden know, but he doesn't care because they don't respond. They don't engage, respond. He is just almost probably just a, I don't know, I guess just kind of half joking, but there's accounts that are just out there just dumping things on the field saying, look, this is what the narrative is. This is what the narrative is. They don't care about what just got proven. They don't care what the new study shows. They just continue to say everything they're told to say. I mean, literally recognize that he's out there saying, yes, pregnant women is safe and effective, while it literally says there's no data to prove that it's safe and effective. How is this happening? How? Now, on this other point, on the FDA document we referenced in regard to the increased, they reveal that it's actually a higher all-cause mortality rate, I just picked out one line that I thought was really telling. This is the most recent document from November. It says, in the U.S., there are no licensed vaccines or antiviral drugs for the prevention of COVID-19, period. Now, this is not taken out of context. It's not from some other category. It's very obvious. Now, is that possibly because they just didn't change it, which they've actually made that argument in the past? Sure, I guess, which just speaks to their incompetence. But isn't that funny? I mean, let's be clear about this. They have stated they approved Comirnaty. But it's also interesting because right now, that's not being used. They've already admitted that too. So is that why they're stating that? Is this them quietly admitting that they're not even using it and they're only putting out the emergency authorization? Yeah, maybe. Either way, guys, they have no legal standing right now. They are completely lying about everything.
They're forcing something that is unapproved and experimental on children. It's off the rails. And one more thing I want to remind you of real quick. Remember that whole discussion in the beginning where we all pointed out that, oh, look, here's one of the Pfizer studies, last updated October 27th, started on April 30th, 2020, recruiting still, by the way, just remember that means that it's still looking, they're looking for people for this study. And remember what, when we continued to say, but guys, this study says it ends on 2023. And all of the blue checks came out in droves and droves and said, you stupid conspiracy theorists. All that means is when it's estimated, they already finished. It's all safe and effective. Remember that whole conversation? Remember how clearly they put, I mean, look at where we are. Can we all take a beat and realize how clearly wrong they were? I know we already knew that. Because look, it's still recruiting. On top of that, they continue to reference these trials and the findings that they're pumping out because they're still ongoing. So let's make a very clear statement here that this trial for the safety, specifically to describe the safety, tolerability, and immunogenicity of the efficacy of the injection that they're currently forcing on people, doesn't finish until 2023. At the very least, it is undeniably currently ongoing. So all those blue checks that swore we were so dumb for not realizing that were wrong. But we knew that then, and we still know it now, and they don't care. This is why I started by pointing out something like this, because this is the same thing happening now. It's not about whether you prove it or not. They don't even care. They see that they're wrong, and they just jump to the next point because politics, because you're stupid Republicans or Democrats or whatever they want to say. That's where this is going, and they're using that to manipulate all of them that are stuck in it. Now, talking about the two-party illusion, there's a very interesting point that I wanted to make in this regard. Fiona Marie Flanagan points this out. It's quite incredible. There's now a discussion in the independent media about apparent links to Moderna, Soros, Fauci, Gates, and Epstein, but never a mention of the hero Trump struck a deal with Moderna before the pandemic was even declared. Two sides, same coin, which I agree with. But here's the interesting part. First part, that there is a discussion about this right now. Now, if you're really going to try to pretend like the current thing that's being made is somehow implicates the long agenda, but you've refused to recognize that Trump was the initiator of that exact same thing, this is my point. You're choosing to ignore it. It's all of them. The false resistance and the false back and forth in Congress is all just to keep you, in my opinion, thinking that there's two sides. Regardless of that first point, the main thing here to recognize is how clearly this shows you that this was going on before this ever started. And I don't just mean that they were investigating coronaviruses, because that's an often misunderstood and misrepresented talking point. Look at back in 2015, they were doing this and that. Now, I'm not talking about the patents overall. I'm actually trying to reach out to Martin to talk about that conversation. I mean just simply that they were doing a lot of general research on this, which, by the way, I do think is very damning, but you can't prove, say, because they were researching coronaviruses back then, that proves they knew this was going to happen. It's one step in that direction. But as they points out the tweet, which I just had to seek out and find, which is right here, Ivanka Trump, back on November 16th, 2020, said, fact check, this Moderna NIH vaccine is literally the one that President Trump partnered with Moderna to create on January 13th, 2020. I repeat, January 13th, 2020. Just be happy. This is great news for America and for the world. Well, it's not great news for those that want to pretend like Trump was fighting for them the whole time when you don't believe the injection is good. But January 13th, huh? Well, let's dig into this for a quick second and look at what we can find. First of all, recognize if that is true, January 13th, if they were making a deal to make it a coronavirus COVID-19 injection, how does that make sense? On January 21st, the CDC confirmed the first U.S. case. A Washington state resident becomes the first person in the United States with a so-called confirmed case of COVID-19, having returned from Wuhan on January 15th. So 2 days before the person even returned, supposedly they were making a deal to make an injection. Well, maybe it's because they knew this was something. Maybe it's because there was a plan. Maybe it's because they were just being safe. Certainly those are possibilities. But what it ultimately does show you is that this was happening long before we were being told there was something happening. You can read into this however you want. On March 13th, 2020 is when Trump declared the emergency, which has never stopped and which has given him all the powers that Biden is currently using.
handing the baton, right? One to the next. Regardless of the narrative around it, Trump started what Biden has been continuing. So March 13th is the declared emergency, yet the argument is January 13th is when they partnered with Moderna to make an injection for something that hadn't even been seen in the United States, hadn't even had a person come through yet. Well, let's read what this is. Mother Jones, actually, but I'm using the simplified article version so I can read it properly. Ivanka Trump praises her dad for vaccine research. Here, let me do this real quick so you can see it. Mother Jones, this is from November 18th, 2020. It's basically just going off of her tweet. Here's what it says. On Monday morning, shortly after the biotech company Moderna announced promising news about the efficacy of its COVID vaccine, Ivanka Trump went on Twitter to blow some minds. Basically, you know, saying that it wasn't, this was, that's interesting. Anyway, I had a thought there that I was going to jump into, but I'm going to pull it back. So it goes on to say, early in the month, intelligence and health officials were becoming increasingly alarmed by a novel coronavirus spreading in China. This is just what their narrative is. Again, at the time, as officials later told the Washington Post, quote, Trump advisors struggled to get him to take the virus seriously. Trump received his first in-depth briefing on the virus from Secretary of Health and Human Services Alex Azar on January 18th, which we've discussed many times. During the call, the president reportedly was more interested in discussing when a ban on vaping products would end. Now, for those that have been watching this from the beginning, you know why that's interesting to me. I'm not going to deviate into that today. But that's what I've been telling you from the very beginning. That's a weird little point there. The first COVID-19 case in the United States was reported on January 20th. Asked about the coronavirus publicly for the first time, 2 days later, Trump declared, we have it totally under control. It's one person coming from China. So the point is they were already authorizing creation of this 7 days before he said, we have it totally under control. That doesn't really make sense. It says, while there is now ample evidence that Trump knowingly downplayed the seriousness of the coming pandemic from the start, which, you know, you could argue otherwise. I think that's pretty clear. I said that from the very beginning. Ivanka would have us believe that behind the scenes, her father was taking it super seriously and being astoundingly proactive. Well, what's interesting is as they frame it as just Trump being ahead of the game versus not being ahead of the game, what they actually accidentally, I argue, admit is that this was planned long before he did this, which it was. And here's what they say. So proactive, in fact, that he joined up with a much hyped yet unproven biotechnology company to kickstart a COVID vaccine 1 week before the virus had hit American soil and 4 months before he would announce Project Warp Speed. Exactly our point. A much hyped yet unproven company. How many times have we made this argument? See, they won't make that argument today because that's fake news today. But making it back then was made in order to undermine Trump looking like he did something right. You see how that works? This is partisan nonsense inside the real agenda. Trump's children have ascribed many unlikely qualities to him, but clairvoyance is a new one. It says, so what exactly was Ivanka thinking about? Well, it turns out that Moderna did get its start on COVID vaccine on January 13th, which we've shown you before. 2 days after China released the virus genetic sequence. Now, how does that make sense? I've made this point many times because they were ready and waiting for it. Their platform to make this was built and ready and standing await. And the moment they got this done, they sent it over there, they began the vaccine, and they began forward. And from there, Trump initiated the project. It says 2 days after China released the virus sequence, a document filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission explains that on that date, the 13th, the company's researchers, quote, finalized the sequence for the SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. On the 13th. And it, quote, mobilized towards clinical manufacture. That step was taken in collaboration with the Vaccine Research Center, which is under the NIH. Even if Trump wasn't personally involved, can't he take credit for his administration role in that moment? Okay, before we go forward, recognize, see, they're trying to play it out like he just got lucky or whatever. This is incredibly, this blows my mind. On January 13th, they already finalized the sequence for mRNA-1273, which is what they're still giving to people. That means they're still to this day using the very first, whatever you want to call it, which means that's exactly what's continuing to happen and why it's not working with the new things, even though it is for people that have natural immunity, according to Science Mag. On top of that, people that are going up against Delta with that same-based original strain, which we keep telling you, this is the reason they're hurting themselves. They don't care about any of this data.
But 2 days is all it took. So China sends over the genetic code. 2 days later, they're done? How does that even remotely make sense to you? How about you ask yourself this? If China isolated it, that means that they built their injection based on the assumption that what China said was true and have never looked back. So well, China bad guy, and they're the ones, but we're using their isolation to go forward? Yep. If you even believe it was isolated, which you should realize isn't the case, as we pointed out many times, because the CDC of China admitted that, as we've played for you more than once.
And why has the data not been shared?
No, they didn't isolate the virus. That's the issue.
Many times. Right. So regardless of whether they did after the fact, the point is when they sent this, it hadn't been. They admitted that. Then 2 days later, they're finalized and done with something that wasn't even verified. Yep. Then jump over to February 7th, and they're already making the first batch. Okay, just so we're clear on that. And by the way, the video describing all this stuff has already been removed, which is very telling, because that was one of the videos that discusses the genetic therapy and all the different things they're pretending aren't happening now. So going back to this point, he says, its COVID-related work on January 13th appears to have been completed under an already existing research agreement with the NIH, according to a review by the consumer advocacy group Public Citizen. Exactly my point. In short, Trump didn't swoop in to launch the Moderna NIH COVID vaccine partnership. Ah, so in their aggressive effort to try to make sure you know that Trump's too dumb to do that, they openly admit this was already underway. Rather, his administration piggybacked on an ongoing collaboration whose initial agreements were signed in, checking the fine print, November 2015. Maybe Ivanka should add, thanks, Obama. Yeah, exactly my point. So you're literally telling me that they had this entire platform that they pretend has been revolutionized during COVID-19 ready to go, in wait for the sequence to come from the biggest enemy we have, because that all makes sense, right? Even though we know they were working together on this project from the very beginning. They make it 2 days later, finalize the sequence. Within a few weeks, they're already making the injection. And that stemmed from something that was already in works to 2015? If you can't see why that's alarming and see the clear continuity from long before COVID-19 ever got here, then I don't know what else to do for you. But the point nonetheless, guys, is that Donald Trump, his administration, executed a deal with Moderna to make these injections before it was even admitted to the country. Before we even had a single incident. 2 days before there was even a person in the country from Wuhan that they said had the virus. And meanwhile, Trump saying that we weren't at risk and it was all under control. You take this data for whatever you want. At the overview of it all shows you that this has been planned and was executed. Now, remember, as I just pointed out before, in their FDA documentation, they continue to show you that Comirnaty, the one that they say the most recent version of this, is still derived from the Wuhan isolate, the isolate that they claim they never had, at least in the beginning. And then was already making the mRNA. This is the point. This is the same thing from the very beginning. So variant to variant to variant, they're still pumping out the same garbage that isn't working. It doesn't have an effect because it's not the same thing. You're making antibodies for something that's not there anymore. Then on top of that, remember the point we already made, that if you're using something based on that Wuhan isolate, which all of the current injections are, mRNA and otherwise, and then you're dealing with Delta, which is what they're claiming, that's putting you in danger. Where are you at, CNN? Where are you at, MSNBC? Where are you at, Fox News? Where are you at, all of the quasi-mainstream media independents? This has been there since August 9th, and I've been screaming about it since then. This is obvious antibody-dependent enhancement. ADE, antibody-dependent enhancement, may be a concern for people receiving vaccines based on the original strain. And, I mean, I keep trying to go back to this, because this is one that was very clear from the get-go, from December 2020, that they also found the same thing. Informed consent disclosure to vaccine trial. This was during the vaccine trials.
And what did they find? As I've read many times, the specific and significant risk of antibody-dependent enhancement, not a possible risk, not a slight risk, not a hypothetical risk, a specific and significant risk of antibody-dependent enhancement should have been, meaning that their studies showed that they knew about it and should have already said this and should right now be prominently and independently disclosed to people in the trials, to people being recruited for the trials, and people already taking the injection, in order for them to meet informed consent. They said that back in December 2020. They peer-reviewed it on March 2021, and here we are. None of that's being discussed. They're not admitting that it has possibility to create antibody-dependent enhancement, even though that's what the science is saying, even though that's what they're supposed to be doing because that's called informed consent. We just went over the FDA documents. Nowhere does it list that. That's criminal because it's still based on that original strain, so they say, and it's putting your body at risk. That's why they're now going, oh no, Delta, which is the problem, they say, plus symptomless variants? Oh, you mean nothing? Yeah, driving COVID back to January levels. Nope, you know what that is? The injection. The new thing in the system that's causing all the problems, spike protein spreading and leading to new disease, or masks that are causing things, or every other thing they're doing that are increasing your illness in every possible way, that's what's driving issues. A symptomless variant. This is the stupidest thing I think I've seen. They're making up these new variants, these new mutations. If it doesn't cause symptoms, guys, it's not causing a problem. Because guess what causes respiratory viruses to spread? Symptoms. That's exactly why a 1 million person study of asymptomatic spread found that they only found, I forget the total number now. What was it? 3? I don't want to cite it incorrectly, but they found a very small amount of people that were asymptomatic. Of them, 0 were actually spreading. Because the symptoms are what spread it. Even Fauci admitted that. But here we are just going, oh no, this thing that you'll never be able to see unless we point at it and say it's there is causing everything to be problematic. You know what that symptomless variant is? The injection combining with Delta, which is exactly what they're telling you right there. The scientific information that they're telling you to trust while simultaneously ignoring it everywhere is telling you that that's exactly what is causing a problem, and all they can do is go, oh, variants, blame the unvaccinated, even though they're not causing variants. And then they're going to force it on everybody to make sure that it's not. Okay, but let me ask you a question. Once they force it on everybody and it continues, then what? Then what do you blame? You blame the unvaccinated who only have one shot because it's their fault. The unvaccinated with only 2 shots, they're the ones getting everybody sick. Just wait for that to happen. Just wait. There's going to come a time where they're going to start calling the people with only 2 shots the ones that are risking everybody's lives, just like they're doing now with the people with none. Mark my words. That's what's going to happen because they need some kind of scapegoat, and it's going to end up being the people that are technically unvaccinated because they haven't gotten the 14th booster shot. Austria plans compulsory COVID vaccination for everybody, not for some, not for children, not for adults, for all, for literally everybody. This is quite alarming. And as I said, forced vaccination has always been dismissed as a conspiracy theory. You guys have watched it from long before we got to COVID-19 clown world. No one's going to force you, conspiracy theorists, and now literally watching it happen. And they won't go, oh, you were right. They're going to say, well, we need to because COVID's dangerous, without realizing how hypocritical it is for them to call you a conspiracy theorist right up until a thing happens, then shift what they're saying and explain why it makes sense. Well, we didn't say why. We just said it would happen. Therefore, you have to admit that we were right, but they won't. Just like with everything else and vaccine passports and all the rest of it, all they do is move the goalpost. Here we are with yet another huge line being crossed with zero pushback from all of the dying corporate media, not just CNN, Fox News, all of it, who moments ago would have laughed at you for saying this would happen. Austria announces nationwide lockdown and vaccine mandate. Nationwide lockdown. We play this clip for you in the beginning. But the vax mandate is for everybody. The nationwide lockdown, when it started, was just for the unvaccinated. Because that's the narrative, right? Because we know, we know very clearly, even their data very clearly admits they can still spread and catch it. Yet simultaneously, they act like it's okay for them not to wear masks, like Fauci just said. By the way, again, I'm not arguing they should. That's their narrative. Masks are dangerous for you in every possible way, in my opinion, if worn for extended periods of time, especially when you don't need them. If you're not, worried about dust or transmission of spit and blood, that's what it's really about. But their point is, or before I forget my point I was making, the idea is that they're saying, well, they know very clearly they can still spread it, but yet somehow admit it, pretending like it's okay for them to not have to be locked down like everybody else if that's what's dangerous, right? That's the narrative, but then it switched. Then it transitioned very quickly into, oh, well, now we're expanding it to include everybody. Oh, really? Well, how does that make sense? Let me know in the chat if there's an audio issue. So it expands to the vaccinated. Well, as I said, well, isn't that interesting? It paints a pretty clear picture. Is my audio having problem, guys? Please let me know. Somebody. Okay. What's funny, though, is that if you're increasing it to add the unvaccinated, doesn't that very clearly show you that even they are now seeing that they're also part of the... Yes, obviously. And I don't even know why, if your intention is genuinely to fix the problem, if that's what they think this will do, then why would they start with just the unvaccinated? Maybe because they're just that taken by the narrative. And very quickly they were like, well, geez, they're still transmitting. Well, clearly they're part of it. And whatever the logic or how it went down, they put them into. They added the vaccinated, which there's no misunderstanding that. They're also problematic, which is what we keep telling you. Now, as Evolve Mushroom points out, how it starts, fully vaccinated. Getting vaccinated this summer, you may be eligible to win cash. Cash prizes range from 1,000 to 5,000. Bribe, bribe, bribe. Take the thing that you're... I mean, this is not what you do when this is for your best interest. How it starts, how it ends. Being included in the lockdown anyway. I don't know why people have such a hard time seeing this. But meanwhile, in the United States, as Highwire reports, 2.5 million truckers are saying that they'll quit over the mandate. You know what that's going to do? Destroy the infrastructure for supply chains. But that's probably the point. 37% of drivers not only said no, but hell no. Good for them. Good for them. Guys, now is the time for you to start taking actions to make sure that you are sustainable in your own life. Recognize that they are taking actions to destroy what they know the average person relies on. Being able to go to Walmart and do things and order from Amazon. Find your own sustainability. And no, sustainability is by itself is not a dirty word. It's because that's how they're using these words to misrepresent what they're doing. They're not driving towards equity and sustainability. They're using those buzzwords to make what they want. Making a sustainable garden is exactly what all of us should be doing. Having a life where you don't need an outside force to be able to continue, that's called sustainability. That's what we need. Or, I mean, one of the terms you could use, but it's larger. The reality, though, is that you should right now be making sure you have a garden in your backyard. Not in your front, because that's illegal, which is obscene, which is true in San Francisco and elsewhere. You're not allowed to grow gardens in your front yard because now we're seeing why. The point is, stock up on water, stock up on cans, grow your own food. Make sure you're prepared because they are actively making choices that will hurt you. You need to see that. Now, the next one, this is from Elaine Loro. She says, this is not even the worst. Wait until you can't leave the hospital with your newborn until they vaccinate them. We've already seen that, by the way, in the UK. We saw the video where the nurses were literally saying that once they're born, they're our property until we release them to you. That was actually on video. They're probably not going to admit that, but that's what they're acting like today. That because the point is that they take the kid right out of your body and give them a test to make sure that they didn't have COVID-19, a test that jams inside their nose, which we've seen give bloody noses to young boys. On top of that, guys, I'm not putting it past these maniacs to give them a COVID injection. Now, somebody out there is going, that would never do that because it's not even allowed. Yeah, we've already seen it happen. There's already examples in Bayer's of children being months old that are having it, not from the trial either. We've already had people admit they gave it to people that shouldn't have got it because they know it's safe and effective. Why do they know it's safe and effective? Because the media has screamed that at them for 2 years straight, even though it's literally not. So in this case, once they start forcing it on every age, that's the question. Imagine until they start going, well, you can't have your baby until we inject them. Do you all understand the plan? As she points out, Lord Gates told us on April 2020, that the goal was to make it a routine baby vaccination. They're all talking about that. Her point is that San Francisco is now requiring children 5 to 11 to show vaccine proof, which we already talked about.
This is coming, guys. And if we don't stop it, the whole thing is coming. The whole nine yards. Forced and everything. We see where this direction is going. Now, Bank of America, in this same direction, has now initiated a pilot program, which is doing what? Separating vaccinated people from unvaccinated employees, otherwise known as segregation. This was originally reported by Epoch Times. A source who works with Bank of America has disclosed a pilot program beginning November 18th that plans to separate vaccinated from unvaccinated employees at an administration building in Jacksonville, Florida. As the whistleblower points out, it's segregation. I'm blown away. I mean, that's what this is. Now, even if you want, you could take that from a general set of view, state of mind, or you could recognize, as many are pointing out, which is a valid point, that the not the majority. What is it? That an overrepresentation of minorities are in the group of unvaccinated for whatever reason. You can think into that however you want. So it doesn't really matter though. So this breaks down to an overrepresentation of minorities being segregated from non-minorities, regardless of whether that was their intention. Do you not realize how crazy that is? How insulting that is? How hypocritical that is, especially for the Biden administration? But guess what, guys? How funny, in a really sad, macabre way, as they do this. Here's Bloomberg Law. Segregating unvaccinated workers? Think twice, attorneys warn. But who cares? Biden said we could. Paskey said we should still keep doing it to keep our employees safe, right? There's a lot of these companies that are going to possibly lose everything if there's any honesty left in this world. But what's funny about this, and again, in a macabre sort of way, is they're forcing this, right? They're doing things like this and segregating their employees and forcing them to take mandates and firing them if they don't. And here's Bloomberg reporting, an alarming surge in retaliation spurs labor agency collaboration. Now, you might think, of course, right? Of course. An alarming surge in retaliation spurs, this is retaliation. Employers retaliating against employees for what? For asserting workplace rights. Now, you're probably going, yes, of course, we all see that right now. But you know what's going to blow your mind? That this person, Ben Penn, had the nerve to write this article on November 17th and not anywhere in this article mention vaccination, mention mandates, mention anything that's going on right now. He actually writes around it like it's not happening, like this is just a normal occurrence. Gee, I'm almost sort of suggesting that we don't know why this is happening. This is the kind of clown world we're in right now. This is pathetic. As I said, an alarming spike in employers retaliating against employees for asserting workplace rights. You mean like not being forced to take an ejection that's experimental and unapproved? Yeah. And yet, not a single mention of vaccine mandates or vaccines in this coverage. No mention of the unprecedented coercive measures. What a clown show all this is. I mean, this guy should be embarrassed. Ben Penn, you should be embarrassed with yourself. I mean, that's pathetic. You have to at least mention it and say, "Bah, I don't think it's related." Either way, we have employers that are literally attacking their own employees because they won't take a medical intervention. And that's obviously why we're seeing this unprecedented spike and why it's being reported as such. Here's another one. Aldi stores, in case you want to, you know, recognize who's doing this, and this person's calling them out. Care to comment? Quote, employees who choose not to be vaccinated will be permitted to work up until March 2022. However, unfortunately, those who choose not to be vaccinated will not be able to continue employment here past that date. No sidestep, no religious exemption, no testing, nothing, which, by the way, you shouldn't be acquiescing to anyway. But they're just going, you're fired. You're gone. If you don't get this injection, you're gone. Hashtag boycott Aldi stores. Aldi confirms this letter is authentic, by the way. But they say this does not apply to colleagues here in the UK, but was a decision taken by Aldi Australia, where several other businesses in some states require all staff to be vaccinated. That's where it's coming. It's coming to you soon. That's criminal. Absolutely criminal. James R. asks, what do you think of a church that turns away the unvaccinated? That's already happening too, guys. A church. Do you realize how crazy off the rails that is? You're talking about churches who are always turning the other cheek, right? But not when it comes to vaccines. These are bad people pretending to be good people, whether you're in religion, whether you're in politics, whether you're in news, doesn't matter. If you're acting like this makes sense, you're a bad person.
And as Erica points out, I know it's a hard decision. No jab, no job. In March, she says she had to choose. She chose the job. She was injured after that and haven't been able to work since. She lost her job. She says, I wish I would have listened to my gut and just lost my job instead of getting hurt and then being forced to lose it anyway. To all those choosing no jab, I know it's hard. My thoughts are with you. For those wanting details, left hand went numb right away. Left side swelled 4 hours after migraine set in. Migraine has been 24/7 all the way since. 24/7 migraine ever since her injection. But yeah, she must be crazy though, right? Nothing has helped. Not anti-vax just for this one for lack of data. No mandates, leave kids alone. No long-term data on development. It's just sad. And of course, remember that they don't care if you feel like they're breaking the law, because the law is really a tool that's being used against you right now, right? So as we're watching them force this on people in every possible way, manipulate the situation, people are doing what they should be doing and actually calling the police and reporting a crime against these people. But instead of actually standing up for the people that are actually being extorted, coerced, the police said, stop calling. That's true. Thank you for sharing this, COVID-1984.
The Toronto police say a vaccine mandate is not a crime.
The CTV's John Woodward reports the service has been inundated with complaints from a group of teachers complaining they've been extorted.
You see a lot of people, because that tells you that a lot of us are awake.
At this rally at Nathan Phillips Square in early November, a man who identified himself as an educator called vaccine mandates at the Toronto District School Board extortion.
A man who identifies himself as, great fact-checking, guys. Yeah, because you couldn't have figured out very quickly whether or not he was a teacher or not. You just didn't want to, so you could say, a man claiming to be a teacher. That's how pathetic these people are.
On October 27, 2021, myself and a handful of other staff from the Toronto District School Board went to the Toronto Police and reported crimes of extortion, assault, attempted assault, harassment, and many other charges under the Criminal Code of Canada.
That handful grew thanks to social media, with posts seen by CTV News telling others to file as well.
Good.
To the point that the Toronto Police Service says they've had enough, telling CTV News, we have taken 53 reports in relation to the Toronto District School Board and 3 for the Toronto District Catholic School Board. After reviewing the occurrences, no criminal charges will be laid. This is not a criminal matter, and we would ask that people do not report this to the police.
Wow.
So you have 53 people report this, and yet you go, you guys are all dumb and you're wrong. Just so we're clear, though, I take that. But the bottom line is, if you're the police are choosing not, this is obvious extortion. They just are okay with it because the danger is COVID in their minds, right? This is a crime. You are having workplaces force medical interventions on people unless they do what they're. I mean, or on top of that, the HIPAA discussion. What happened to the idea that we're not supposed to be just closing vaccine your medical history? Remember when that was a conversation? Now suddenly this doesn't count anymore. These are crimes. All of them are crimes. And the police just go, stop telling us about them? Yeah, those aren't police, guys. Those are enforcement arms. Crazy stuff. Now, finally, on natural immunity, we just talked about this. And I love the way the defender frames this, because it really does mean this more specifically. We just talked about how the CDC was forced to admit, another great finding by Aaron Siri, where shows that after a FOIA request, they were forced to admit they don't have evidence of a single transmission caused by people who have natural immunity. Not a single one. And yet they're forcing this on people without checking of whether they have natural immunity. But also, don't forget my concern about using that on the passports. We shouldn't be, if you have natural immunity, you shouldn't be forced to prove anything. They should leave you alone. In response to a Freedom of Information Act request, the Centers for Disease Control said it has no record of an individual previously infected with COVID becoming reinfected or transmitting the virus to others. Zero. Because the agency doesn't collect the data. Remember, even the Lancet study that we just talked about found 0 out of 100, 0 incidents. It was not happening. So that's the science that they're not trusting right there. According to Siri, the revelation that the CDC does not collect data on people who have acquired natural immunity to the virus raises questions about vaccine mandates.
specifically how the government or employers can mandate vaccines for people who may not need them and who could be at greater than average risk of experiencing adverse events to the shot. Exactly. Which is not a hypothetical, guys. That's what the peer-reviewed science is saying. Now, in a blog post, Siri wrote, quote, "Yet the CDC is actively crushing the rights of millions of naturally immune individuals in this country if they do not get the vaccine on the assumption they can transmit the virus. Even though they haven't proven a single case, and the Lancet in their own study found that there was no cases. But despite clear proof that the vaccinated do spread the virus, the CDC lifts restrictions on the vaccinated." This is dystopian. I would add this is criminal. Think about that for a second. They've verified the vaccinated can spread it. They have not even proven or have a single case that the naturally immune do. And yet they're forcing the ones they've proven do spread it, or they're forcing the ones they haven't proven spread it to take action, while the ones they've proven do spread it, they're releasing the restrictions. It is insane. It's exactly what, I mean, it's crazy. On top of that, guess what? Multiple places are, while that's happening and while we're further proving that, they're going, no, don't find out whether you have antibodies. Don't even do it. Why it doesn't even make sense, it says. This is the mirror. Why it doesn't even make sense for everyone to do an antibody test before the third vaccination. Just go get it. There's no sense to it. There's no reason to find out whether you have antibodies. Just go get the injection so it can further remove the antibodies from your blood. We've shown you that many times. Multiple studies have found that. Multiple people have discussed this. It actually reduces your antibodies. Here's another one. This is from Taiwan. This person's name is Quadcat. Apparently, they're illegal after finishing. This is a translation issue, too. After finishing high-end antibody test, well, here's what it says. The Commander Center spokesperson said that the local health bureau will be asked to investigate to clarify that all medical hospitals that provide self-financed inspections do not violate the medical law or infectious disease prevention and control law. So basically saying that we think it's illegal for you to do your own antibody test. I wonder why that would be. Maybe the same reason they're saying it over here. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go find out. There's no reason to find out why. Yeah, there obviously is, but I still argue you shouldn't do that. Avoid testing of any kind at this point. Well, Truly Progressive points out the obvious. This is why. The UK report shows you that 98.1% of the entire UK population already has COVID antibodies. And that's being suppressed. Thank you for sharing this. Here's the actual video. Before we get to the video, here's the page that shows you this. Population impact. This is from the UK documentation. From the UK Health Security Agency. Here's what it says. Based on antibody testing of blood donors, 98.1% of the adult population in the UK now have antibodies to COVID-19 from either infection or vaccination, compared to 19.7 who have antibodies from infection alone. Which is a weird way to write that, isn't it? Because if it's from both, can't you just give the other percentage and then, you know, state the one percentage, state the other, and then they combine, it's one? Well, the reason I think this is not the accurate information is because if they're claiming only about 20% of the population got it from infection alone, how does it make sense to argue that only 65% currently have, as it says right here, by October 10th, the overall vaccine uptake in England was only 65%. So only 65% oh, and by the way, that's only one dose. So 60%, two dose. So only 60% of the population apparently have gotten injections fully. Yet you somehow argue that only 20% is the, I mean, that doesn't even add up, guys. This is on top of everything a lie. And even the lie reveals to you something they don't want you to see. 98% of people, they say, have antibodies. But they're claiming only 20% of that's infection. Yet somehow only 60% of the population has been injected. Oops. There's 20% in there that just vanished. There's no way you could argue that 80% got it from injections if only 60% got injections. But it's just comically stupid. But regardless of how they fit this together, how about we realize that if 98% of the population has antibodies, that shows you that they should have herd immunity based on their narrative, but they don't. And nonetheless, they're forcing this on everybody.
What this really does show you guys is that most of the population already had immunity before this ever started. And the other 40% of the population already has immunity. If 60% of the population has got injections and 98% has immunity, the other 40% has already had immunity. Now, you should ask yourself how many of that 60% also already had immunity long before this ever started. And I'll show you just the one that I tend to pick out, but there's multiples that say this. Is that they studies from long before we started this are telling you that even from March 15th, that a majority of uninfected adults already had antibodies. Uninfected. So you didn't get COVID-19, but you already had antibodies before this ever started. That's the point, guys. The injections are hurting you. They're taking away antibodies. They're reducing things. They're causing antibody-dependent enhancement. In fact, they're hurting you if you even have it based on the original strain and come up against Delta. All of that's backed up by peer-reviewed science, and they just don't want you to see it. 98% of antibodies, and yet we're still forcing this on everybody. We're still trying to force the people. Like, you know what? That on top of the other points I made, that shows you they're right now trying to force the injection on people that 100% have natural immunity. 100%. And they don't care, even though that will cause problems. Previous infection will lead you to have dramatically increased adverse events. Now, here is the video. I think I'll just let you guys watch this for yourself. He makes some excellent points in here about why this is a lie, which we already pointed out to you. Remember that? Where he goes like this. First of all, it shows low confidence, and most of it's just not even accurate. They're just guessing anyway, and that's the infection. 75%, even though they know that's not true. They've already admitted that it doesn't stop infection at all, especially in regard to Delta. But this continues to show you that they're guessing, and he makes good points about that. But he goes on to show you the actual breakdown of the antibody results and shows you how they know right now that most people already have it and they just don't care. He also makes a great point about this and shows you that the cases, at the very least, are dramatically higher in the vaccinated category. But then he goes on to point out the hospitalizations and deaths, but and does the per 100,000 and shows you what other people have been arguing that they're, you know, when you take the specifics on the per 100,000, you could make the argument that you're having a higher issue in the vax in the unvaccinated. But he still makes the point of showing you that the data, the full number seems to be higher on those sides, on the vaccinated side. But going back to their numbers that we're talking about, like right here, I still argue that there's no reason to take this at face value with how these things are manipulated with everything we just showed you today. They're just lying blatantly about how many people have natural immunity or every other factor. Regardless, this doctor very clearly also takes this to questions all of it. But go through it for yourself and recognize how obviously this shows you that we're being deceived. If 98% of the population already has antibodies, ask yourself how the inside the U.S. If that's the case there, and I promise you it's the case here, and all we're doing is removing these things and putting people at risk. Now, just a quick note on smallpox to wrap this up, just as we expected, yet again. It says, the CDC says smallpox vials found in lab just didn't contain the disease. It was just another experiment, and it was the disease that was used to make the vaccine, not the one for smallpox. Oh, okay, great. Still a problem, though, right? Because they're not supposed to be making smallpox vaccines there, but who cares? It's all nonsense. And I said, so there it is. It seems it was only meant to keep this in our minds. Keep you in a state of fear, setting the narrative should they choose to go in this direction, right? So basically the narrative is, it's all good. Well, no big deal. We misunderstood, blah, blah, blah. Otherwise, if that wasn't the case, there would have been no need to blast this everywhere. That's my perspective anyway, right? Why did they immediately scream about FBI, CDC investigation when it took them moments to be like, oh, they asked the question. It turns out that wasn't what it was. And then we asked the one guy in his lab and he said, oh, it's not that. It's for a different virus. It was for things. Okay, all done. Right? You got media articles spreading the concern and fear before they even asked the questions. Yeah, that wasn't planned at all. Clearly, this is just meant to float this in your mind, guys. And to do something like this. Gates germ game warning motivates smallpox vaccine decisions. Discussions. In a wide-ranging discussion on November 4th, Gates called for a new international pandemic task force with a budget of $1 billion a year. According to Microsoft's founder, they want to invest in research and development to prepare for future pandemics and smallpox terror strikes. Gates has previously issued these warnings, as I've told you many times. In 2015, he made the same argument. Next outbreak, probably smallpox and the whole thing. He's made this before. Based on recent CDC Vaccine Advisory Committee meetings, the U.S. is currently, though, focused on the threat of smallpox. That is concerning. Now, you could, just like always, you could lean in back and say, well, it's because that, you know, just the same point. It's the one that's most likely to be weaponized. Every time they start focusing on something, it just so happens to be the one thing that happens next. Sort of how they all said, let's just randomly theorize about a coronavirus killing all these people next year in Event 201. And then what do you know? The one thing, it turns out the one thing? Come on. On November 3rd, 2021, following an introduction of by Pablo Sanchez, chair of the Orthopox Virus Workgroup, the CDC Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices reviewed the two presentations focused on smallpox vaccine. Oops, dang it. Specifically, Jynneos. Produced by Bavarian Nordic, Jynneos was initially approved in 2019 by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, right before this all started. Interesting. And is indicated for preventing smallpox and monkeypox. Oh, you mean like the case they just found in Maryland yesterday? What a coincidence. Even though monkeypox is dramatically, apparently super deadly, but barely spreads because it's not very transmissible. Usually something that's not really a concern for spread for virus. Yes, but maybe if they manipulate it, though. Regardless, this is the injection that they're focusing on now. It's the only FDA-approved non-replicating. I guess we'll listen to and take them at face value. But it's saying that, you know, currently the smallpox vaccine is not recommended for general use. But overall, it seems that this is being floated. U.S. healthcare officials are prepared to use the vaccine if there's an outbreak of smallpox. Bill Gates publisher, you know, this is seemingly why this narrative was floated, to justify what they were already doing, which is what they always tend to do. Whether that gets used or it's just another possible use, we'll have to wait and see. Finally, I want to leave you with this image or this discussion coming from the sheriff of Arizona. COVID-1984 shared this. And this is just a statement to kind of see where this is all flowing into. Like why they need to keep you fearful. Why they need to keep you concerned about something to rationalize what they're doing. It's because they're using this in every possible way to condense all of their information for what's coming next, which is exactly what he admits to you right here.
There's a state of emergency in Arizona that was declared for monetary purposes, and one of the strings attached is that everybody's information must be shared with the CDC and HHS. And it's right there on the governor's website, his latest executive order, a thing called the Enhanced Surveillance Advisory. He did his COVID state of emergency last March. Under the Trump administration, he's continued it all the way to the present day. So why did he do that? Well, it's very simple. It's money. In order to get that CARES Act money, the American Rescue Plan money, all this COVID-related money, he had to have a parallel emergency declaration that matched the federal emergency declaration. The strings attached on this are very simple. He has to share all the vaccine information, individualized data, with no ability to opt out for anybody who gets the shot in Arizona. The following information must be shared every 24 hours. The individual's name, date of birth, gender, race/ethnicity, residential address, phone number, and vaccine priority group. B, the vaccine product information, lot number, and expiration date. C, the route of administration and administration site on the patient's body. D, the month, day, and year of each immunization. Ducey is clever enough to put in here that you can't opt out, requiring that all of this be shared every 24 hours with CDC and HHS. What I'm reading right here, you can see there's the...
Wow.
I just read that highlighted part. Mm-hmm. There's the governor's signature. Yeah. There's his seal. This is his latest executive order saying that you cannot opt out of that. Now, that is the string attached to the federal money that goes along with his emergency declaration. Christians talk about taking the mark of the beast, and some people say, oh, no, you know, you're wacko. How would they ever do that? How would they ever get everybody's information? You know how it says in the Bible, you won't be able to buy, sell, trade, you know, unless you take the mark of the beast. With this talk of going to a digital currency, how would they be able to track everybody's social credit or what you've done, if you've done what the government has told you to do? Here's a Republican governor, a hypocrite,
right,
requiring that every 24 hours, all this personally identifiable information with no ability to opt out be shared with CDC and HHS.
Now, of course, when he says, you know, hypocrite, of course, that, you know, it kind of reveals that, you know, my point is, they're all hypocrites. Right. If you think that Republicans should be doing a certain thing, and if they don't, that they're hypocrites, like all of them are pretending.
Like, we need to start seeing that, right? I just can't get past the two-party stuff. You know, the government is doing this to us, whether Republican or Democrat. And yes, it matters in some ways, but overall, it's all being pushed forward. Now, this is important because what it reveals to you is that there's backward deals, backdoor deals with the CDC, with your personal information. That shows that it's about giving that data away, which is a violation of your rights. Exactly what we told you would always be the case. So I commend them for standing up and revealing this. It's important. This is where it's all going, which brings us back to the original point of build back better. This is the future, and they need that data to control where this is all going. It couldn't be more clear, as always, guys. It's just about whether you're paying attention, about whether you're ready and willing to listen to what they're telling you is coming. It's always been there. So I hope you will continue to fight with me and continue to question everything and push this out in front of people that wouldn't otherwise see it. Keep fighting, because this is far from over. But believe it that you are having an effect. Absolutely believe it. All right. I'll leave you there, guys. I love you all, as always. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.